lowering the mortgage by $100 to $200 on about a million households. That's not a big boost to the economy. What it really is a taxpayer subsidy of those 111 million households doing a favor for another million folks.
Republican presidential candidate Rick Perry has a flat tax plan he thinks will improve the economy. CNN's Tommy Andres reports Perry will unveil the plan during a speech in South Carolina today.
Perry wants to give Americans a choice. Either keep paying their taxes the way they are or opt into a new 20% flat tax. Perry says the option will streamline the tax process, making it easier for Americans and enabling the government to save more than $400 billion in compliance costs. He also says it will raise the average standard deduction to $12,500. He calls the whole plan cut, balance, and grow.
Muammar Gaddafi was buried today. A spokesman for Libya's interim government says members of Gaddafi's tribe were allowed to pray over the body. Many people in Turkey are overwhelmed by grief following Sunday's earthquake. The death toll is almost 280, and more than 1,300 are hurt. CNN's Diana Magne tells us about the struggle residents are facing.
Survivors of Sunday's earthquake have been provided with tents, blankets, and hot food that for those people not only who lost their homes in the quake, but also for those who are too scared to return to their homes because of the numerous aftershocks that keep affecting the area.
The Rangers beat the Cardinals 4-2 in Game 5 of the World Series. Texas can wrap it up in St. Louis Wednesday. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
What's with the boxes, Nerlman?
Just moving into Peterson's old office, Mr. Fernwell.
Well, I need this space for Bob from Accountemps. I want him to fill Peterson's shoes.
Good luck. That man had the biggest feet I've ever seen.
Bob from Accountemps knows cost analysis and budgeting inside out.
But he's a temporary.
We could hire him full-time.
Full-time?
And this will all be his.
Can I just pretend for a sec?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half company.
Thanks again for the generous donation.
Oh, don't mention it. When I heard from Katie, who read Kevin's blog that sent everyone to a fan page because of a tweet Bobby shared about the newsletter you sent him in an email, well, I just had to help out.
Start your own word-of-mouth campaign by combining Constant Contact email marketing with social media and spread your message to potential donors like never before. Get started today at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact plans are as low as $15 a month and now come with a money-back guarantee.
It could be a long day for shares of Netflix. They were hammered in late trading after revealing that it lost more subscribers than expected during the last quarter. Netflix lost 800,000 customers after the video rental and streaming service decided to hike fees and split its services' options. With everybody waiting for daily deal side Groupon to start trading stock in the next week or so, the company behind Facebook games, Farmville, and Mafia Wars is itself getting its ducks into an IPO row. The Wall Street Journal says Zynga is likely to go public at the end of November. The report does say Zynga will watch for the kind of welcome Groupon gets before making a final decision. As for stocks already trading on Wall Street, they rose yesterday and could see some early strength this morning as stock futures rise ahead of reports on home prices and consumer confidence and earnings news, including from UPS. S&P futures in the plus column by just about a point now, NASDAQ higher by 3 points, and Dow futures are adding 3 points as well. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
So, wondering, have you ever been in a long-distance relationship?
Oh, yeah, I'm in one right now.
Really? How far?
135,000 miles.
What?
Yeah, that's how far I can go with the warranty on my Mercedes.
Purchase a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz right now with an optional extended limited warranty, and your vehicle may be covered for up to 7 years or 135,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz undergoes rigorous inspections by factory-trained technicians to meet the uncompromising standards of Mercedes-Benz. And it also comes with roadside assistance and 3 months of Sirius satellite radio. So along with our 135,000-mile extended limited warranty, we extend this invitation. Come in for exceptional financing on our certified pre-owned vehicles today. And remember, if it's not at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, it's not certified pre-owned.
See dealer or call 1-800-F4-MERCEDES for complete program, including certified pre-owned extended limited warranty and Sirius satellite radio details and limitations.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder is the poster child for the cliche, actions speak louder than words.
One thing I tell people is there's no magic bullet here.
Because...
And there isn't just one or two things to do. This is a grinded out situation.
But I'm excited. I think this is a
job. Don't shut up. Y'all don't shut up. I'm going to go out of my mind.
Welcome to Detroit's only free speech zone. It's time to wake up to truth, reality, and a way forward. It's time for First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning. Good Tuesday morning to you. I am Tony Trupiano. Happy to be with you. Wake you up on this early Tuesday, First Shift morning. Time to punch in, folks. It is time to punch in. No question that we've got a lot to get to this morning, and we will begin. Guest-wise, in the 7 o'clock hour, my good friend A.J. O'Neill of A.J.'s Cafe in Ferndale put together the Assembly Line Party, and we're going to talk about his plans for that, a new concert coming up. He's a Guinness Book of World Records holder, and you'll find out why. Actually, you'll know who he is when you hear about the Guinness Book of World Records. Most of you will, anyway, so we'll look forward to that. We do have somebody punching in with us in 7:50 to talk about Occupy Detroit. Chris Mihalakis will be in studio at 8 o'clock. And then I have a very, very special guest. Professor Gordon Lafer will be with us at 8:35. And he is going to talk to us about right to work. Educate us. Educate us about right to work. It's critical that we understand what we're talking about. It is going to become a bigger and bigger issue as we move forward. I'm going to venture to guess even those of you who think you know right to work cold will learn something from our conversation in the 8:30 half hour. So I want you to all stay tuned for that. So we've got some good stuff to get to you today. But let's get this puppy on the road.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Sensitivity is our first word today. Jeff hands me an article this morning about schools declaring war on Halloween. We know what's going to happen soon enough. Can you say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays? We've become so hypersensitive to political correctness that I sometimes don't recognize the America I live in anymore. And if you think I'm being overly dramatic by making that statement, I'm not. I'm not. I think it's just become too crazy out of control. You say one simple thing, and if it's not exactly aligned to somebody else's belief system, you are all of a sudden tagged or labeled as something you're not just because you used the wrong word in somebody else's world. Sensitive. We have become way too sensitive. Now listen, I think we all know when we've crossed a line, intent matters. We just all need to lighten up a little bit, just a little bit, and I think we'll find that we won't be as, well, sensitive. And that is today's first word. Crazy enough. Jeff, I was actually, morning, Mr. Radford.
Good morning.
I was actually planning a different first word, but when you handed me that article and I just started to read it, and I thought, really, sweet Jesus, seriously? And this principal in this elementary school, I don't know if you read the article, but he said that instead of coming dressed in costumes, he asked the kids to, and he called instead for boys and girls to embrace a spirit of equity. Now imagine being that two-year-old running home from school saying, Mom, Dad, guess what? instead of being a pirate this year, I'm going to embrace equity.
And so the words every parent wants to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that that would just fill me with such great pride. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Do you think that we're overly sensitive as a society? I think we've become way too overly sensitive.
Yeah, well, and the article was being pointed out by a different site that I saw, because it was perpetuated by Fox News saying, they're kind of throwing out an anti-immigration thing, saying, here we are, the more different races we have in the country, the more different cultures we have in the country, then you can't force, the old traditions on them, Christmas and Halloween and so forth. And it was basically, Fox News saying, fear-mongering about having different cultures, too many cultures in the country. Which I thought, the whole thing is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Listen, I live in a very ethnically diverse area, and we still have Halloween. I hearken back to the days of my own youth, Jeffrey. And, we had, Irish, and we had, Jews, and we had blacks, and we had Indians, and we had everybody in the school system, and we didn't, I don't know what happened. I mean, what happened to this country that we, we've become so sensitive to labels and traditions, and I just don't get it. I don't know where we turned that corner, but it's so unnecessary. I mean, that's really my point here, is this is so unnecessary, and it wastes just an incredible amount of time and energy. Embrace equity. I mean, really, you're going to go out with your bag and knock on someone's door and say, listen, instead of candy, I'd really like to have a dialogue with you about being equal. Do you have a few minutes?
Or if it's equity, then maybe when they hand you a piece of candy, you have to hand one back.
There you go. So you don't need to buy or sell any more than you've got, because it's going to just go from your hand back to their hand. So you only really need one piece of candy, right?
It's all about equity.
There you go. So you buy a candy bar, might as well buy the big one, impress everybody, and hand it to the kid, and the kid's going to hand it back. And then you just do that with every single kid, and happy Halloween. Or are we not allowed to say Halloween anymore?
No, you're not allowed to say happy.
That may be the more truthful statement there. We need to stop being so sensitive. So, listen, Texas Rangers go up one game. I really thought St. Louis, especially after the night they just demolished the Rangers. I guess that's just the thing about baseball. You got to play them every day, right?
Oh, and man, Mike Napoli could just, he could run for mayor.
At this point, he could probably run for the presidency. He might not win. He might not win in Missouri, but he'd do well elsewhere. Just amazing the turnaround, and I don't know. I just didn't expect it. I if I were putting money on this thing, I would have put it on St. Louis. But yeah,
so that means you're not putting it on St. Louis anymore.
I'm not. Well, I didn't put money on. Yeah, no, I would still give him a shot at it. Absolutely.
See, what they say that the matchup was Jaime Garcia. And I can't think of who the Texas pitcher is going to be. Anyway, but, Garcia's been pretty good. And it's weird how, like, the unknowns, the lesser-known pitchers have really stepped up in this so far. Derek Holland, and I know everyone now knows who he is lately. But this whole season went under the radar, had a very good season, and he steps up and shuts out the Cardinals the other day. And then, some of the lesser-known Cardinal pitchers, like Jaime Garcia, again, very well-known if you're huge into baseball, but for the most part, people are like, who is this guy? And he's been pitching really well for the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's just, they're giving us a run for our money. If you're not one of those people that is looking for a quick end of the World Series, you got yourself a real game now. So, a real series, I should say. So, that should be it. And then, apparently, no foul, no harm to Matthew Stafford at this point. He's day to day, but they didn't see anything on the MRI. Nothing broken, nothing twisted, nothing torn. So that's, I guess, good news.
What do you do with that, though? What do you do with
nothing?
With Matthew
Stafford? I don't believe. You know what? Somebody needs to sit him down. And this is if Matthew Stafford and I were sitting in a room, this is basically what I would tell him. And part of this is based on a conversation Anthony and I had on the way home last night. I would just tell him you need to stop trying to be what it is you think you have to be and just be yourself. Anthony made the point to me on the way home yesterday. You know, in the first five games, you know, they were overperforming, and so he had that confidence. Well, then they, you know, didn't play well against San Francisco, and that quickly he loses confidence. Now, some of that, I think, is immaturity. You know, he just doesn't, you know, have the experience to have gone through, you know, that kind of high and then that low. But if you watch his body language, Jeff, and I know you have, he has no confidence in himself right now. So what I would tell him, if he and I were sitting down and having a conversation, as I would say, dude, you really just need to go out there and be yourself. Be the guy you were the first few games. But, I mean, totally be yourself. Be totally authentic. Don't be more than you are or less than you are. Just go out there with the confidence that you have the skill set to do this.
But with the injury and the bye week coming up soon, do you play him against Denver?
Absolutely. I absolutely play him against Denver. Yeah, I'm not playing this game. You have a bye week coming up. He's not injured. He's banged up. Professional athletes have to play banged up. You know, another thing Anthony said to me, which made sense, was there a week that Brett Favre wasn't on the injured list? You know, good players step up and play.
Yeah, I don't know if I put Stafford in Brett Favre's league just yet.
Well, but the point is, to get in Brett Favre's league, you have to experience what Brett Favre experienced, and that is fighting through injuries. That is making an effort when perhaps you don't think you got anything left in you. No, I don't play it safe with him because, again, if we believe what we were told, you know, there was no, you know, again, he's banged up. He's not, he doesn't have a sprained anything. He doesn't have a twisted anything. He doesn't have a torn anything. You know, they can, you know, treat him, you know, nice and gentle during the week. But absolutely, do you play him or not, Jeff?
Man, I might. I don't know how hurt he is, how injured he is, but I think you need him more down the stretch. So if
yeah, but you've got the bye coming up.
That's what I'm saying. You give him this game, Denver, which should be easy. I mean, it should be, but again,
all right. Well, you know what? Let's pick it up after the break because I mean, you and I need to talk, young man. You and I need to have a conversation. 888-552-3595. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Our total traffic update, Tony, looks pretty good. Traffic right now is moving along pretty well through that construction zone on I-94 as you're coming in toward the Hagerty area, trying to get to 275 to Wayne Road, trying to get toward the airport. I bet eastbound traffic will be backing up before too long, but looks like right now you don't really need too much extra time to get through there.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, there is a slight chance of showers later this morning, a high near 63 today. Tonight, look for that rain, a low near 50. Tomorrow, showers, a high near 55. Right now, it's partly cloudy at the airport, 41 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
At Staples, we know your business printing is important. Right now, get 30% off any copy and print orders of $30 or more. Visit staples.com or text Staples to 84444. Offer ends 11/12/11. Staples, that was easy.
Recently on First Shift.
The headline reads, Senator Stabenow responds to Chinese threat over bill to crack down on currency manipulation. Thank you for your leadership on this issue.
It really is enough is enough. We know we have a complicated relationship with China. We know that we borrow for them to pay our debt, but we're also their largest consumer market. They need us too, and we've not exercised our own strengths to push back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
I'm in a state of caffeination. Got all my fingers shaking. Must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates. Cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient. Getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this First Shift Tuesday morning show. We'll get to the Facebook poll question of the day here in just a moment. The president kind of doing a little number with refinancing mortgages. We'll get into that as well, and lots of other stuff to get to in this hour. But back to our conversation, Mr. Radford. On Matthew Stafford, here's the deal. As a coach, if he's okay to play, and I mean okay to play, you put him in. If this game is as easy as you were kind of inferring that it would be, it's a good confidence builder for him. I understand what you're saying. You don't need your first stringer in there in a game that you should pretty much win. But I think it's a good confidence builder for him. You know, you can never, nothing replaces actually doing something. And so even if it's an easy game for him, a win's a win. It builds confidence. And I think that that's far more important than resting a knee that may not be that badly hurt anyway.
I think confidence I think he's pretty confident in what he can do.
I don't. I think his body language is sending a very different message the last two games than it did the first five.
Yeah, maybe that's what the confidence you're talking about. In his team, then? In his offensive line? Because I think he's confident in his abilities. And it's not like, I don't think it's like gaining experience. If he plays the Denver Broncos, it'll teach him anything more than what he's already learned from playing so much as it is.
And then fundamentally, that's where we disagree. Because with each and every win, that's a new experience. That's something you put in your memory bank. You know, this is something that to me, it's a no-brainer. You play him, you continue to build his confidence. He's lost two in a row. He needs to win. You set him out a week, then it'll be a month before he has a chance to, you know, literally from the first loss to the time he gets back, it's 4 weeks. I think that's too long between victories. I think you put him in, you get that W under his belt. He feels better going into the bye. He feels better preparing for the game after the bye.
All right, what if they don't win? What if they
Well, you told me it's an easy game.
It should be.
Okay, yeah. Well.
What if they don't? Then it's not guaranteed. I'm not saying they're going to
win.
Okay,
then.
What if he gets hammered the first quarter and re-injured and they lose?
Oh, that could very easily happen any quarter of any game, no matter how easy or hard it might be. I mean, that's a given. That's football.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, you were talking about.
I think you
like,
have more. To gain by, even if you lose, you have more to gain by giving him more experience. He's in his third year in the league.
Yeah, but you're
and he's barely
like,
played enough games for one season.
You're acting like I'm saying sit him the rest of the season. If he's not able to go, Or if he's, you know, if he's really forcing it, a 60% Matthew Stafford is not worth putting
They're
out
not going to play a 60% right. Matthew Stafford.
80%.
They would play, they should play an 80, yep, I'm saying they absolutely play an 80% Matthew Stafford.
I say you play the guy who gives you the best chance to win.
All right, and I think it would still be him. I still think him at 80% is better than Sean Hill at 100%.
Okay.
Now, just my opinion.
No, that's fine. You know. That's not. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I didn't say. I threw out numbers. I didn't say that 80% was, you know, an 80% Matthew Stafford. What I'm saying though is there's a line, and we're trying to figure out where the line is. The line where, okay, you know, fine, you can put him out there and he can get experience, but he's at a higher risk for injury, and he's not as effective as 100% Sean Hill. That's where you got to find that line.
No, you're right, and I don't know what that line is, or I'd be coaching football and not doing radio. Well, maybe not. But I would rather take the risk and play him. I'm just saying that's what I would rather do, and so that's what I would do. Unless he tells me, listen, coach, I can't play, and I don't think he's that kind of guy. Although I get the impression, and maybe I'm wrong, you probably pay closer attention to this than I do, but do you think Jim Schwartz errs more on the side of caution than a lot of head football coaches? I kind of get that opinion from time to time.
Based on what?
Just on past guys that have been hurt, you know, he seems to be more cautious. He'd rather sit a guy an extra week and have him closer to 100% than have him play. I mean, basically kind of what you're saying is I'd rather, you know, because we are fairly deep in certain areas. And Sean Hill's certainly a very capable backup. There's no question he proved that last year. You know, I just think that, you know, Jim Schwartz would rather sit a guy in an extra week and get him a little healthier. He's more apt to do that than a lot of coaches.
Well, it depends on what the position is. You know, if they have depth in that position. Quarterback is by far, we all know now, it's the most important position out there. So, you know, if you're saying, you know, the starting fullback, okay, yeah, I can see sitting him. I mean, let's all be honest. Does he really play that key of a role? Then no. But the quarterback does. So I don't know what his belief is. I think he, you know, wants to win the game no matter what. So, yeah, if he thinks it's the best chance to win with Stafford, then, yeah, then I don't think he sits him.
All right, because that was my question. Because I don't know. I just kind of got the impression that Jim Schwartz is a little more cautious than some head coaches. But I can't give you a specific example. I mean, I don't want to use a concussion example because you don't mess with concussions. I'm totally down with that. Well, I really
plus
am.
Plus, the league has made rules now where you can't.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
They're sure that you take care of your players. Now.
Right, and it should be that way. I think you mentioned the other day when we were talking about the collective bargaining agreements and older players that didn't have pensions and how many of them are, you know, physically unable to do much. And of course, they had no protection, and so I think it's great that they've kind of caught up a little bit. Couple quick questions about University of Michigan football. I understand that Greg Brown, one of their corners, is leaving the program. Kind of odd for a player to leave in the middle of a season, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's not something that it's not uncommon, but it's not something that you would want to have happen a whole lot. It's just. You hear about it more now because of the coaching switches. But, yeah, there's players that get unhappy with their role. I mean, he was a freshman. He barely got in. He probably didn't see too much his potential to play a whole lot more. I mean, there's freshmen that are moving ahead of him, so you're going to have freshmen coming in behind him. Maybe he just didn't get along with the coaches and took off. So
I guess that can happen. That could easily happen. And I would guess in your freshman year is a time to do it, right? You can go catch on with another program if that's possible.
Right, yeah. He's going to have to sit out the first half of next year because he'll sit out the rest of this year, this semester, and the first half of next semester or whatever. It's the year that he has to sit out, depending on where he goes. He could go to 1AA and play right away. So.
Okay, yeah. I don't know how all those rules work. You would know that, obviously, much better than I would. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I think, by the way, Brady Hoke's doing a pretty incredible job based on what he had to work with. There was an article in the paper in the Detroit News yesterday that I did not read, so let me say that up front. But the teaser of the article basically intimated that when they went to replace Lloyd Carr, they did not have a game plan, that Rich Rodriguez was not part of their game plan, but they didn't game plan. Bill Martin, he was the AD then, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that he did not have a game plan to replace Lloyd Carr, and he really just thought because they were Michigan, they would get a marquee coach that would just step right up into the program. Obviously, that didn't happen. That was a mess.
Yeah, but that being said, I mean, that is how it went down. They thought they could get anyone, and then, you know, it so happened, and they thought it was a perfect scenario. They needed a top-flight coach, and suddenly Rich Rodriguez was having his problems with West Virginia. He was well thought of as, like, one of the best. And when that marriage happened, when Rich Rodriguez said he was coming to Michigan, schools across the country started fearing that Michigan was just going to take off offensively. A lot of problems obviously occurred since then. So
yeah, no question. All right, a quick break here. When we come back, is your mortgage underwater? The president may have a program that will work for you. And then again, he may not. We'll get into the details of that. Lots of criticism, but we'll lay it all out for you. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Those coming in along I-96 eastbound, trying to make your way Brighton in toward Novi, trying to get onto maybe M5 or go east on 696 or south on 275. We're getting a little busier, especially through the interchanges, but fortunately not getting word of any big problems, at least not so far.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There is a slight chance of showers later this morning, a high near 63 today. Tonight, look for that rain, a low near 50. Tomorrow, showers, a high near 55. Right now, it's partly cloudy at the airport, 41 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stop by McDonald's today and start collecting McCafe rewards points. Points are available on all medium and large hot McCafe and premium roast coffee cups. Collect 5 points and your sixth beverage is free. Start collecting points today. McCafe rewards, only available at McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Astonishingly, some Wall Streeters continue to be clueless about what the Occupy Wall Street movement is protesting. Yoo-hoo, streeters, note that the movement's name has the term Wall Street in it. While there's a plethora of particular issues being raised by the protesters, the unifying theme is a protest against the rising tide of economic inequality that's enriching the most privileged few by knocking down America's workaday majority. And guess who is the most powerful perpetrators of this greed-fueled disparity? Yes, Wall Street. For example, even as the protests were spreading in mid-October to hundreds of cities, executives at Bank of America announced three moves. One, to goose up their own extravagant pay, they're socking financially stressed debit card users with a new $5 a month fee. Second, they're dumping 30,000 of the bank's worker bees onto America's already swollen unemployment rolls. Goodbye and good luck finding another job. Third, two top executives who are departing the bank are being handed golden parachutes totaling $11 million. In the midst of this, Steve Bartlett opened his mouth. A former Congress critter who's now Wall Street's top Washington lobbyist, he is a perfect symbol of the infuriating corrupt coziness between financial elites and lawmakers. Yet, Bartlett blithely says that, quote, "We don't see ourselves as the target of the protests." After all, he explains, Wall Street has to be well-capitalized and well-financed for the economy to recover. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Golly, Steve, what part of the public's multi-trillion dollar bailout of the street's elite did you not see? We the people see every glaring dime of it. And we also see that rather than helping our economy recover, you're now lobbying in Congress to kill Wall Street reforms so banksters can grab even more at our expense."
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
No,
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. Tuesday morning. Our First Shift Facebook poll question of the day. Turquia Mullen, who is the center of the Wayne County Severance Gate scandal, does not want to answer questions in a public forum. Do you believe she should have to answer to the board in a public forum? Just that simple. Do you believe she should have to answer in a public forum? They've been meeting privately, and some of that information's been leaking out, but, you know, there are certain... There are certain laws, you know, Open Meeting Acts, and et cetera, that provide for that to be held in a public forum. I think it might get a little out of control depending on who's running the meeting. But the question is, she does not obviously want to do that. She does not want to sit in an auditorium and be grilled by the board. And I understand that, but do you feel that she should have to answer in a public forum? That's simple. Just go to Facebook, search for First Shift, and answer the question. If you'd like, while you're there, please like our Facebook page. We lost one last night, Jeff. We've got a casualty.
Maybe it's just someone who gave up on Facebook altogether.
You know what? I like the way you think. Okay, the President of the United States has made an announcement. Now, I got to tell you, after reading the announcement, here's the deal. And we're going to play you some audio, but here's the deal. If you are current on your mortgage, but you're underwater or a little bit underwater, you'd like to refinance, save some money on your monthly payment, the president is proposing, and actually can do this by executive order, new rules for refinancing your mortgage. Now, that helps, of course, people that are looking to just save a little money, which is not a bad thing, so I don't want to paint it as that, but this helps no one that's in foreclosure and doesn't address the bigger issue of moving the real estate market. So here, according to now, Jeff, the first one, is that the president's actual announcement, or is everything underneath that?
All of these are just stories. There's, I mean, and the president's announcement is contained within.
All right, very good. Well, so let's go with the Channel 7 report.
Homeowners on the verge of being set out on the street because they're struggling to pay their mortgage. We're listening closely today as President Obama announced a change in home refinancing rules. The news could not come soon enough for people here in Michigan who have watched the foreclosure crisis derail stable neighborhoods and property values.
Carolyn Clifford is here now with what the president plans to do and whether it's something new or the same old promise for help that never seems to materialize. Carolyn?
Right, Diane and Joanne, you know, a lot of people are looking closely at this. Today the president announced new rules to make it a lot easier for you to refinance your home. The plan changes the two-year-old home affordable refinance program to help homeowners with little or no equity in their houses. The cost to refinance should be cheaper, and the plan is supposed to remove all of those caps to give people who are seriously underwater access to this program. Now, if you're 25% or more underwater, you may be able to take advantage of loans with lower interest rates. These new rules apply to homeowners with federally guaranteed mortgages who are current on their payments. That's much important for you to know. The president made the announcement in Nevada, one of the states hardest hit by the mortgage crisis.
We're going to work with federal housing agencies to help more people refinance their mortgages at interest rates that are now near 4%, because that's a step that can put more than $2,000 a year in a family's pocket and give a lift to an economy still burdened by the drop in housing prices.
Now, people are still skeptical because when this program started back in 2009, administration officials hoped at least 4 million Americans would take advantage of this. But as of August, only about 894,000 people have refinanced their mortgages because of all of the red tape involved. The changes will be made by the independent Federal Housing Finance Agency. Now, the program is being extended through the end of 2012 and only covers mortgages created before June of 2009 and are owned or backed by government-controlled mortgage buyers Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
All right, so not as good a news as it might sound. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not trying to bash the president. Don't get me wrong. And I think for those that are in that situation, you know, it can be very helpful. Can be. Well, not necessarily will be. And again, the red tape that they mentioned is quite burdensome. On the nightly news with Brian Williams, they had a slightly different take on explaining how this program will work. Let's take a listen to that.
Good evening. Under pressure to fix the economy and help those Americans who've been dragged underwater by it, the president today offered a fix for the housing crisis and those Americans who are struggling to stay ahead of the game and keep their homes. The president says he's going to put out pieces of his economic plan instead of one big package because of the gridlock in Washington. The election season backdrop is, of course, unavoidable, and so the president's choice of a backdrop today was notable. NBC's Kristen Welker traveling with the president in Nevada tonight and starts us off from there. Kristen, good evening.
Good evening, Brian. The unemployment rate here in Nevada is above 13%, so this state is up for grabs in 2012. Earlier today, President Obama announced help for homeowners here in this Las Vegas neighborhood.
President Obama on the road again, accusing a divided Congress of foot dragging.
We can't wait for an increasingly dysfunctional Congress to do its job.
The president used the power of his office and the optics of a suburban street to sidestep lawmakers, announcing the expansion of a mortgage refinancing program.
Now, this is a painful burden for middle-class families, and it's also a drag on our economy. When a home loses its value, a family loses a big chunk of their wealth.
The plan, starting December 1st, specifically targets homeowners with underwater mortgages who owe more than their homes are currently worth. Those who have mortgages owned or guaranteed by government lenders Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, loans made on or before May 31st, 2009, and are current on their payments for the past 6 months, with no more than one late payment in the last year. The program would allow homeowners to refinance no matter how much they owe, eliminate appraisals and many underwriting requirements, and waive many of the expensive upfront fees. Government officials were hesitant to say how many homeowners are eligible. One estimated as many as 4 million, while independent economists estimated as few as 250,000. The government acknowledges the program will not help the 6 million Americans already facing or in foreclosure.
We've got to do more to help the communities that have been hardest hit, that are struggling with vacant and foreclosed properties.
Las Vegas resident Dennis Smith is nearing retirement but feels trapped by his mortgage. He thinks he could save as much as $500 a month with this program.
It's a very, very stressful situation for my generation, who has always looked at the home as a safe investment and only to find out that today it isn't.
While some believe the new program is a step in the right direction, they also say it doesn't get at the heart of the housing crisis.
It doesn't really help people sell their homes. And that's a big part of the problem that we have right now.
Now, administration officials here admit this program doesn't get at the far-reaching and complicated housing crisis in its entirety. They say they will be unveiling new economic initiatives in the coming days and weeks.
All right, and I guess that's what I'm looking forward to is those other initiatives. We have time. Quick couple thoughts on this. It doesn't get to the heart of the issue, and they said the heart of the issue is how do you sell a home? I mean, it's okay. It's easier to refinance, and that's great. This is refinancing, though. This has absolutely nothing to do with selling homes. It has nothing to do with financing a new home. So that's the other issue that's involved here is it has absolutely nothing to do with that. Probably the best thing that comes out of this, of all of the expensive fees that come with refinancing, would be waived. So anyway, Lou Dobbs, infamous Lou Dobbs on Fox News, has now a radically different take on the president's program than both Channel 7 locally and NBC Nightly News. Here's Lou Dobbs.
It is time for our government to emulate what the American public is doing, and that is be careful with their money, be thoughtful, and understand there are consequences to the decisions we're taking. And to have this president actually offering up billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in bribes so that a man with his low approval ratings can get reelected, it's not only
a bribe for a vote is what you mean.
It's all it is.
He says we're faltering and we can't wait. Congress to do something.
We can't wait for our Constitution. We can't wait for people who disagree with him. He calls it bickering if there's a debate. He calls it waiting if there's a process by which we reach a judgment representing the American people. My goodness, how unfortunate for this president that he has to have his patience tested.
Well, man, I don't, you know, I certainly don't characterize this as a bribe, because for the amount of people, I mean, yeah, you know, if it helps 5 million people, first of all, 5 million people aren't going to take advantage of the program. I can tell you that up front. 5 million, if you buy 5 million votes, that doesn't even come close to buying an election.
That's assuming that those 5 million people wouldn't have voted for him, and now they will.
And that's assuming they're all Democrats, right?
Well, no, it's assuming they're all independents.
Right, and this is just crazy. I mean, I appreciate Lou... No, I don't appreciate Lou Dobbs. Not at all. I'm sorry, why did I even go there? I don't appreciate Lou Dobbs. It's just, his assertion is just ridiculous. You know, Jeff, at the end of the day, it's good news for people that, again, are underwater, and there are a lot of people like that, that, you know, refinancing, as I shared with you a story last week, can be very daunting.
And this isn't giving money away either. It's refinancing. They're still going to have to pay. It's for people that have been making their payments. So it's not all the people that are complaining about, oh, these people took out loans that they couldn't afford and they're not making their payments. No, these people were making their payments. They can make them, and now they're just helping them refinance so they won't ever
save
face
a little
foreclosure.
Money. Well, so they'll save a little money, you're right, and then it'll help to avoid foreclosure and give them help to make it a little easier to get some equity in your home. So in that regard, it's a pretty good program. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Much more to get to on the other side. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And last but not least, on Twitter, at Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
And now the bonus round. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, what does presence make?
I want to say crab dip.
Correct. Finish this sequence. Tree, sky.
Transubstantiationalism.
Correct. Ooh. What can you watch instantly with Netflix?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Ma'am, are you crying?
I cry when I'm happy.
Well, that makes two of us.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And First Shift, First Shift, First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
Here's Tony. That's right. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for punching in this early morning, 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. I want to turn my attention now to the phones, 888-552-3595. Dave in Farmington punches in this morning. Dave, thanks for giving us a call, and good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you and your crew.
Thank you. What's on your mind today, buddy?
Hey, you want to keep on topic with the mortgages. I think it will help. I know, like, I'm personally, I'm sitting at, like, 30-35% over market, or underwater, if you will. So we haven't been able to refinance.
Yep, you will with this program. Yep, you will with this program, absolutely.
Now that's going to loosen up. That's going to loosen up some funds that we'll be able to spend and utilize elsewhere. I think also the next logical step in this scenario is, like I know my sister-in-law and even I, we've had job opportunities that we could have seized upon and moved, but because we're so merged into our home mortgage and not being able to sell our house because we're so far under, you know, so far above the market value on our principal, we weren't able to feel that we could execute that. I think the next logical step is allow people to, you know, short sell their home, take the difference, you know, take the difference of their principal and be able to parlay it into their new home in another region.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. So what you're saying is basically, let's say it's, to make it, keep it simple, $10,000 difference, you would just tack that onto the price of the new one in another part of the country, make that part of your financing package?
Right, because I don't understand what would be the difference. What's the difference if I'm refinancing my home at, say, 140% of market value, or buying a new home, you know, moving to the same, basically the same 3-2 ranch that most suburbia owns, and being at 140% of that market value?
Well, again, I'm not an expert in this, but what you're saying makes complete sense to me.
So I see that as a stimulus. I mean, you hear, you know, business, you know, when you read business sections, you hear about company complaints, you know, we're having a hard time recruiting somebody. I know my brother-in-law is trying to get my sister-in-law moved down to Tennessee to help him with his ice cream stores. He can't get her down there because she's locked into her mortgage here in Michigan. I had an opportunity to take a job out in the Dakotas. There's no way I could even think about it because I was locked into my mortgage unless I wanted to go through, you know, execute the quote-unquote strategic foreclosure.
Right. Well, you know, and I ran into a guy. I was up at a college reunion this weekend, Dave, and one of my former fraternity brothers got a job in Columbus, and it was a good job. I had to take the job. I mean, it wasn't a job where you could go, man, I'd love to, but I can't sell my house. So he had to take this job. In the meantime, he thought that he knew he wasn't going to sell his house right away, but he thought he'd rent it, had trouble finding renters, so he never got it rented. So now he bought a house in Columbus. He's got his house here. He thinks he might have the one here sold in a short sale, but he's got an attorney involved now because the bank was dragging their feet. And he said, you know, Tony, when this is all said and done, it's going to end up costing me even more money. And this is wrong. Under this program, he would be able to get out, I think, a lot easier. I don't know, Dave. It's just we need to do something, and if Congress won't do it, then God bless the president for at least making an effort.
All right. Even if it doesn't work out swimmingly well, something's better than nothing at this point.
Well, again, and I appreciate the call, Dave. It sounds to me, in your situation, it's the perfect deal. I mean, Jeff, for a guy like Dave, this is exactly what he needed. This is exactly the program that will help him.
Right.
So that's great.
And it'll help stimulate the economy because, you know, like he was saying, you could save some money on that.
Well, that's just it. I mean, even the article that I read said, you know, if you save $500 a month, that's $500 a month, Jeff, you can spend either paying your bills or going shopping or buying more groceries. $500 a month's a lot of freaking money.
Right, but, you know, in the article in Lou Dobbs, the interview with Lou Dobbs earlier said that, you know, people should not spend that money, though. If they're saving money, they should actually save the money and put it away, which is what, you know, the rich are doing right now. And people sitting on their money isn't helping the economy all that much. But again, you got to do what you got to do with what's best for you, I suppose.
So. Oh, sweet God. Yeah, you know, we've got to spend money. We've got to consume so we can produce. It does no good. You know, this goes back to the whole Occupy movement. This is about hoarding money. You know, when you're wealthy, you make more money. The more money you have, the more money you make. We all know how compound interest works. We all know about all that stuff. So here's the deal. If we're not consuming, we don't need to produce. If we're not producing, we don't need to create jobs. If we're not creating jobs, okay, so that cycle continues to perpetuate itself, and it just gets old after a while. Now, it'll be interesting to see what happens this holiday season, how we spend this holiday season. Jeff, I've got this feeling that people are probably going to spend more than they did last year. But I don't think that that's any kind of ooh-ah prediction because, you know, people didn't have as much money last year. And I think that especially in Southeast Michigan, especially with the auto workers getting their bonuses, we will see more spending this holiday. No question that's true.
You think so? Because I was thinking the opposite. Like this, the scare tactics or the atmosphere of being, you know, you don't know what's coming next and who knows what's going to happen. You know, you'd want to keep your money, hold on to your money, and make sure that you have a little put to aside.
Well, they may save some of it, but I think the majority of people, because of when the money hits, which is going to be right around the holidays, I think they're going to go out and, you know, have a happy and merry Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever. I mean, you know, no, I think people are going to spend most of that money. I really do. I really believe people are going to spend because it's like anything else. When you don't have, when you deprive yourself, as we have in this country as a whole for the last 5 or 7 years, and you get a little bit extra cash, I don't, you know, there's nothing wrong with treating yourself a little bit, is there, Jeff?
Oh, see, now that to me makes sense, and that's what I think helps to stimulate the economy. Not trickle down, not helping people who already have money get more money so that they can trickle it down to the rest of us. Give it to the rest of us, and it's funny because I had this conversation yesterday with a friend. If you give piles of money or cutbacks or tax breaks or whatever to people who already have a lot of money, then they end up putting it in the bank and saving it because that's just what they do, right? If you give it to the people who are less fortunate, who are poor or middle class, They don't sit on it. Like, they don't go and put it in the bank. They actually do go out and enjoy themselves and have fun and you know, spend the money, which I think stimulates the economy a heck of a lot faster and better than people who just sit on it.
By the way, I already know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you, so
don't. Well, then
say.
What was the point of bringing that up?
To tease you.
Oh, well, you did a very good job.
Yeah, no, I...
Now I'm going to be sitting over here wondering the whole time.
Well, you know...
Based on that comment... That's what makes me wonder about what it is. I say that comment, and then you're like, bam, now I know what I'm getting. Well,
No, not now. I've known for a very long time what I was going to get you for Christmas.
Well, that makes me even wonder more now.
Yeah, no. This isn't something just came up like that. I know. All right, the assembly line party. A.J. O'Neill, my good friend, came up to visit me, by the way, in Lansing, which was great. On the other side of this, Diane Cross with Traffic and Weather, CNN with Headline News. I'm Tony Truppiano, Jeff Radford, young Anthony Truppiano at the board on this First Shift Tuesday program. You can stay with us. Don't punch out. We got a lot to do yet today. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update getting a little busier for drivers along the route. There are 696 as you come off of 94, heading out toward Van Dyke and out toward I-75. Actually, both east and westbound 696 getting busier through there. And then drivers who are trying to get toward the Southfield Freeway, M-10, you know you're going to find the route there to have some slow spots at times as you head all the way out toward 275.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. There is a slight chance of showers later this morning. A high near 63 today. Tonight, look for that rain. A low near 50. Tomorrow, showers. A high near 55. Right now, it's partly cloudy at the airport. 41 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, Visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Top story this hour, President Obama is hoping to help people hit hard by the housing crisis. The president is changing the rules of a government program to make it easier for homeowners to lower their mortgage payments.
Let me just give you an example. If you've got a $250,000 mortgage at 6% interest rates, but the value of your home has fallen below $200,000, right now you can't refinance. You're ineligible. But that's going to change.
However, some real estate analysts don't think it'll help the housing market. Republican presidential candidate Rick Perry wants to give people a choice. Keep your current income tax rate or a 20% flat tax. CNN's Paul Steinhauser says Perry will unveil part of his economic plan in South Carolina today.
A new flat tax would preserve mortgage interest, charitable and state and local tax exemptions, according to his plan. That's for families earning less than $500,000 a year. That's a lot of us. And it'll increase the standard deduction to $12,500 for individuals and independents. He wants to abolish the death tax. A lot of Republicans are saying that. And he wants to lower the corporate income tax rate from 35 to 20%.
Muammar Gaddafi was buried in a secret location today. The body had been on public display in a meat locker. CNN's Dan Rivers says Libya will have some questions to answer if it turns out Gaddafi was killed after surrendering.
I think there was a great hope here that the brutality of the Gaddafi regime would be left behind and they would move to something new, and this has got them off on a very bad footing.
The number of dead keeps going up following Sunday's earthquake in eastern Turkey. More than 360 people were killed. Lead prosecutor David Walgren rested the case for the state of California at the Conrad Murray involuntary manslaughter trial.
The people are prepared and would ask to rest at this time.
Thank you.
The defense is trying to prove Michael Jackson was responsible for his own death by aggressively searching for the drug propofol. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has made a special buy. Right now, Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs of incandescent bulbs are only $3.97 each. That works out to less than 50 cents a bulb, which also works out nicely for your wallet. So come in, stock up, and save on Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs right now, only $3.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only 57-watt bulbs in California.
If you're like me, you have personal belongings that you hold dear. Belongings you can't live without. It's precisely why GEICO makes it easy to get renter's insurance for a really low rate. Renters can protect all their personal belongings for as little as $12 a month. What belongings do I hold dear? This karaoke machine and my vinyl record collection. You fancy a tune? Nah, I shouldn't. All right then.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair?
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
The high-flying days of Netflix may be behind it, at least for now. After a series of missteps by the video rental and streaming service, it lost a lot more subscribers in the last quarter than expected. That after announcing an unpopular price increase in July. And the even worse news, the situation not expected to improve anytime soon as Netflix looks for more defections in the coming months. All of that did send Netflix shares way down in after-hours trading. Another source for those targeted online ads, your credit cards. The Wall Street Journal says both Visa and MasterCard are looking for ways to take the info they gather with credit card purchases and use it to tailor web ads. Now, MasterCard says, for now, some ideas have been shelved due to restrictions on how the info they gather can be used. Wall Street may manage to extend yesterday's gains when the opening bell rings this morning. Stock futures are pointing higher ahead of news on home prices and consumer confidence. S&P futures gaining 7 points, NASDAQ ahead by 10. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot. These are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
What's with the boxes, Nerlman?
Just moving into Peterson's old office, Mr. Fernwell.
Well, I need the space for Bob from Accountemps. I want him to fill Peterson's shoes.
Good luck. That man had the biggest feet I've ever seen.
Bob from Accountemps knows cost analysis and budgeting inside out.
But he's a temporary.
We could hire him full-time.
Full-time?
And this will all be his.
Can I just pretend for a sec?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Thanks again for the generous donation.
Oh, don't mention it. When I heard from Katie, who read Kevin's blog that sent everyone to a fan page because of a tweet Bobby shared about the newsletter you sent him in an email, well, I just had to help out.
Start your own word-of-mouth campaign by combining Constant Contact email marketing with social media and spread your message to potential donors like never before. Get started today at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact plans are as low as $15 a month and now come with a money-back guarantee.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddled on.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trubia.
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for punching in on this early Tuesday morning. It is about 7 minutes after 7 a.m. I've got a great hour of radio planned for you. Don't forget, at 7:50, 7:50, we will be checking in with Occupy Detroit. And a lot of good stuff between now and then. Want to remind you, this show is for all of us, and so you need to take advantage of that. It has been a while since I've mentioned that if there's a story you think we should be covering or covering better or covering differently, you have an obligation to let me know that. Tony@thetonyshow.org is the best way to do that. Of course, the phone number to my office is on the TonyShow.org website, so feel free to connect with me. Jeff's number is where his information is on the TonyShow.org. If you ever want to connect with him, his email address, of course, Jeff@thetonyshow.org. You know, and Anthony, it occurred to me yesterday that we need to get a picture of you and get you up on the website and perhaps create an address for you as well. You ready for that, big fella?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. So we'll get that going. In fact, remind me, we'll get a picture. Well, no, you didn't. Nah, we won't get a picture today. I don't know. How you looking today, eh? You looking good?
Yeah, I'm looking all right, I guess.
Oh, talk about the funniest 5 seconds of radio so far today.
There we go. All right. Well, listen, I have an amazing guest to share with this audience right now. I don't even know how I met AJ O'Neill. I think it was through Facebook. I know he's been a listener to the show. I know that he's a passionate advocate. I had mentioned earlier on in the show that a lot of you will know him for the Guinness Book of World Record, the record that he holds. And I'm going to let him explain to you what that is. So you may not know his name necessarily, although a lot of you do. You'll certainly know the world record, at least many of you will. Because when he told me, I went, of course I know who you are when he told me that. This guy is a passionate advocate. He's a small business owner. He's a gifted activist. And he's an advocate for us. I mean us. He is one of those people that gets that the 99% not only need a voice, but need a place to congregate. And whether that be in the virtual world or in the literal world, he is providing both of those opportunities. And he's representing and founded something called the Assembly Line Party, which we're going to talk about in this half hour. Let me welcome to First Shift my new friend, AJ O'Neill. AJ, a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Good to have you here, Tony. Good morning.
It is great. It is absolutely great to have you here. All right, before people start freaking out on me, let's talk about that world record. What is that world record?
We own the world record for the longest concert ever performed by multiple artists. And I should preface that this is an ongoing saga that started in 2009. And somebody came into my coffee shop / cafe, AJ's in Ferndale, and said, AJ, do something. I'm going to lose my job. I'm sick of this. And it was during the time that they were holding viability hearings in Washington. And I said, I got a little cafe that's struggling too. What do you want me to do? And he said, well, people knew me from a Danny Boy marathon that I had held a year earlier, in which we sang Danny Boy for 50 hours nonstop, which was kind of a farce, but it was a lot of fun. It made news all over the world and kind of put us on the map as quirky and a place where people hold some pretty astounding events. So we thought about it, and I said, why don't I hold a marathon concert for the auto workers? And since Guinness turned down my Danny Boy Marathon, saying they didn't have a category for it, we thought maybe we just would go for the world's longest concert by multiple artists. And because the auto workers were suffering at the time, we thought, what better being in Detroit to have a concert dedicated to the rights of ordinary working men and women of the automobile and manufacturing industry. So we did it. We started I think the day after St. Patrick's Day, and went until April 1st without stopping more than 3 minutes to change sets, and over 280 garage bands and just everyday ordinary people who love to play music when they're not doing what they do came and got on the line, I called it, and we did it. We sang and played music for all that time, and it was so outlandish and extraordinary that news accounts and news reports came from all over the world to cover it.
Yeah, including the BBC, Sky News, Reuters, AP, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, all of the majors here in this country, including the CNN and MSNBC, and
right.
I mean, just an incredible outpouring of interest. And AJ, how do you take that and then catapult that into a political movement that you call the Assembly Line Party?
It's great question, because really I never saw myself as any more than a facilitator with four walls and having a place to hold stuff. But I constantly wanted to know what this was all about. I was raised in a very nothing fancy. I was raised in Berkeley, born in Highland Park, and I knew that, I was a mom and pop type of a community guy that knew how to work for a living, with their hands. And, I wanted to know what the reason behind all this was. So I thought, it's obvious that, what I was hearing during that first year, because I had this thing I called I Pledge America. And I was telling people, look, quit buying stuff that isn't built here. Buy stuff that we build. And, the end of the day, all I wanted was more customers on my cafe. I would joke with them, but I was like, I can't have more customers in my cafe if you don't have a job. So get a job. And I had to find out why they didn't have jobs. And I started to see, like, Fords, GMs, and Chryslers, people were telling me, they're not built here. And I said, you got a point there, but let's not worry about that right now. Let's just buy the stuff that's born in Detroit, because that money comes back here, and we'll address that phase of this argument next year. So at the time, I just wanted our companies to get back to viability, and I thought, we got to keep our jobs and what we're losing. And the ones we lost, we'll talk about how we get them back next year. So we did. The next year, the other part of the pledge that I had was on the corporate side, which said, quit sending our jobs overseas and bring them back here, because we got good, dedicated, talented people right here in our own town that would love to have those jobs. And they're part of what I call a cross-trickle economy. You know, when people work on a line or they have a job, a worker is a producer, is a consumer, is a customer. And that's how it translates to cross-trickle economics and how it translates to me having customers on Main Street. Now, you take away that worker on the line, what you take away is not only a domestic job and a domestic producer, you take away that integral link that they are to our communities by being the customers and the stakeholders who, through the dignity and security of a job, want to settle down in a town and start a family and go shopping and, you know, and bring their kids to school and all the things that make a community. That's what it takes. It takes a person who's treated with dignity and security by having a job that makes all that possible.
And of course, you know, you understand that we live, A.J. O'Neill, in a real world, and we live in a global economy. You don't ignore that. The Assembly Line Party does not ignore that we live in a global economy, and you address that that fairly easily, I think.
Yeah, I think that it's really, I mean, the reality is that some jobs have left here because of globalization. Some have left because of technological improvements. When you got somebody in a boardroom that makes a Wall Street mentality decision, short-term decision that says, if we can get this job done here in Detroit cheaper in Mexico, then we can answer to our shareholders, and every 3 months that investment dividend profit will go up. What do we care about community? We'll get the job done there. So that's a disservice to their shareholders, really, because what they've eliminated was that long-term investor who has that job, who also becomes the customer, who, you know, Hank Ford knew that 100 years ago when he had the $5 day work wage. So the key is not to fight with Wall Street, and the key is not to get into this animosity thing. The key is to show them a Homer Simpson type mentality, if you have to, you know, show what's in their best interest. Let them know that that's where the donuts are, you know, and then they'll come around. But I think they need to be convinced that what you got to eliminate is greed and corruption.
Absolutely. AJ, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, you've got an event coming up that I'm going to be intimately involved with, and we'll explain to the audience what that's all about. Of course, the Assembly Line Party has a place online, assemblylineparty.com. We'll get the website up if it's not already. I'll check real quick up on Facebook. It's there. So just go to assemblylineparty.com or go to the First Shift's Facebook page. We've already linked to it. A.J. O'Neill, my guest. I'm Tony Trupiano on First Shift. We'll take the break on 1310 WDTW and be right back.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes things getting busier along M10. Drivers who are trying to come off of 696 head down towards Southfield. If you're getting on the M39, a little busy there, but still heavy in pockets on the Lodge as you try to head down toward the Davison and into downtown. M59 getting very heavy and slow. Rochester Road out toward I-75. Drivers on 275, you're seeing some pockets of slow traffic as you head in toward 9614 up to 696 and 96.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We may see some sun and clouds today, but also a chance of rain. Our high near 63. Tonight, chance of rain, a low near 50. Tomorrow, possible showers and a high near 55. Right now, Metro Airport, though, mostly cloudy and 43 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
And now the bonus round. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, what does presence make?
I want to say crab dip.
Correct. Finish this sequence. Tree, sky.
Transubstantiationalism.
Correct. Ooh. What can you watch instantly with Netflix?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Ma'am, are you crying?
I cry when I'm happy.
Well, that makes two of us.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
I'm in a state of caffeination, got all my fingers shaking, must have been my large Americano, mochaccino, macchiato. Now the family's gone to bed, and that's my favorite time to get some tips on better rates. Cause my State Farm guy answers late, and even when it's not my agent, someone's standing by so patient. Getting coverage questions answered helps me to relax. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Recently on First Shift.
Well, so joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock, AJ O'Neill is with me. AJ's Cafe in Ferndale is where you find him pretty much all the time, but he is much more than just a cafe owner. In fact, I'm beginning to believe that that's like one of like the third or fourth thing he does. But it's important to him that that does well. And so I want to encourage you to all go out to AJ's Cafe and say hello and introduce yourself. But, AJ, you've got another assembly line party event coming up in November. Let's talk a little bit about that. You've asked me to join you, which I've gladly agreed to do.
Thanks. Yeah, we decided that the natural offshoot was to, you know, first we had consumers that we wanted to make sure we bought our product, and we asked the corporations to make sure that they kept our manufacturing industry here whenever possible. Now we want a political movement that holds our elected officials accountable to being what I call people's lobbyists, and that is accountable to ordinary citizens instead of to the Wall Street. So we had the main the assembly line party with the intention of being a counterbalance to things like the Tea Party on the right wing, and also to tilt the scale of our economy and our politics back to the ordinary citizen and to the Main Street where it belongs. So we're going to launch the party off on November 4th, 5th, and 6th, which is, in a couple short weeks now, with just a recreation of the assembly line concert. Anytime I say I'm doing something assembly line style, I get people call like crazy that want to be a part of it to perform. But in the middle of that now, which is filled up, by the way, in the middle of that on November 5th, we're going to have what we call the Soapbox Summit, which you have so graciously came on to be our moderator of, and we're real thrilled to have you, Tony. I just I just love what you do with the radio show and everywhere out into the community. It's an inspiration to all of us, really. And so that Soapbox Summit will be a two-hour summit where we want to get everybody that we can on a panel from corporate, political, community, special needs community, union representation, civil rights representation. I mean, we are all in this together as one big community. And everybody's voice does count. And much like what the Occupy movement is bringing up now and bringing to the forefront with their movement, you know, we're one of the ones that sowed that seed a few years ago when we started this Assembly Line concert series. And we'd like to lend our support wherever possible, and this is just one way of doing it.
All right, so now for people that are listening, what day or what time is the Soapbox Summit, if that's what they want to focus on?
That is November 5th, which is a Saturday, and that is between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. at the cafe, and it's right on 9 Mile Road. You can go to the website or on Facebook. There's an event on it. Or you can call 248-399-3946. I'll be happy to give you any information that you need. But it's Saturday, November 5th. We're ending Sunday, November 6th. And the Lions are on a bye that week, thank God. I don't want to compete with them anymore.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Now, you know, AJ, I know, excuse me, I know you've invited a lot of dignitaries, and we don't need to get into specifically who's coming yet, because I know you're still waiting on some confirmations. But what is it that you hope to accomplish with the Soapbox Summit?
Well, I see the Occupy movement, and I've been reading quite a bit about where their stands are, and I empathize and I understand. I think that one of the things that we have as a benefit is four walls where we can put people in a comfortable, semi-comfortable situation to where we can put some actionable items on the table on how to move forward to implement these things without saying, oh, that was great, nice to meet you, kumbaya. Let's put some ideas on it. There are ideas out there that can be implemented immediately. And we'd like to have those working forward so that we can present those to our officials as representatives of ordinary people through the Assembly Line Party, which is not a third-wing radical movement. It's more of a coalition of like-minded people who are democratically minded mostly, but certainly invited from all parts of the political spectrum.
And in fact, we would expect and anticipate there will be some currently elected politicians taking part in the Soapbox Summit. But more importantly, we want you folks, you that listen to this show, that get up and go to work and punch in every day, to come and bring your ideas, to bring your voice, to bring your passion. And let's talk about the America that we want to see, the America that we can, AJ, realize if we understand that when we all come together, and again, I'll remind this audience, there are more of us than there are of them. If we all come together in solidarity, we can accomplish great things.
Yes, you are absolutely right, Tony. I could not agree with you more. There are more of us than them. Apathy is a big thing that we have to rail and fight against. I know I try to set the example of the world's longest concert to show people, look, you put your mind to it, you can do extraordinary things, but it takes more than just AJ, it takes more than just a Tony. We all need to put ourselves on that line together. And if we do that, we can accomplish extraordinary things. Believe in yourself, because that's what it takes. And when we get ourselves together in mass, look what's happening. Wall Street movement has laid a foundation for a mass awareness. Now we all have the obligation to take that awareness and bring it to the forefront, to the people who are in Washington and in our manufacturing corporate sectors, and say, look, you ain't nothing without us. We don't need you. I mean, you don't have us. You don't have a job, and they need to remember that they work for us. And there's That's not disrespectful. That's pure common sense.
Couldn't agree more. Let me get out some information again, AJ, before we have to let you go. The entire weekend will run on November 4th through 6th. It's going to be a lot of great music. Now, you said that the music slots are all signed up, right? You don't need any more musicians?
Right. The only thing that, because so many people do sign up, there's an open picking and poetry jam from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday, November 6th.
Okay. But
well, anyone can participate.
I just don't want you being inundated with a bunch of musicians calling, so let's make that clear up front. Next time. And there will be a next time. There's always a next time with AJ.
I always say I'll never do it again, and then it always happens.
Of course. AJ's Music Cafe is at 240 West 9 Mile Road in downtown Ferndale. The phone number is 248-399-3946. All the information will be available at the First Shift website and at our Facebook page, and that's the best way to plug in for now. I'll look forward to that weekend. AJ O'Neill, thank you for everything you do, brother. I'm sure we'll be talking long before the next event, if not later on today. God bless you, and thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Oh, thank you, Tony. God bless you. Thanks for all you do. You inspire me to.
Thank you. AJ O'Neill, once again. A quick break here. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update, getting busier for drivers on M10, the Lodge, as you are coming out of downtown. Heading northbound, you're going to find pockets of slow traffic as you get closer towards Southfield and 696. The southbound side, as you come off the route, they're down to Southfield, the Davison, into downtown. That southbound side, we've got a lot of slow traffic. 275, also seeing pockets of heavy traffic into 96 and 14, and up to the Reuther. As you're coming out on I-75, looks like the interchange near 59, pretty busy. In fact, it's Rochester Road out to 75 is where we're seeing the worst of it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service includes a chance of showers today and our high near 63. Tonight, we're going to see rain, a low near 50. Tomorrow, maybe some rain throughout the day and a high near 55. Right now, mostly cloudy, 43 degrees at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Republicans continue to stand with the Wall Street one percenters as Senate Republicans unanimously blocked President Obama's Teachers and First Responders Jobs Act. United Steelworkers President Leo Girard says the politicians in D.C. flipped the bird to the Occupy movement. If the majority really ruled America, Girard says, the jobs legislation would pass. Girard says Congress rejected bills that would create at least 1.9 million jobs while passing trade bills that help the wealthiest 1%. An NBC News Wall Street Journal poll found 64% of Americans believe that Congress should pass Obama's jobs legislation. 64% say it's a good idea to raise taxes on the wealthy and corporations. Despite solid majority support for jobs legislation and taxing the rich more to pay for it, Republicans refuse to follow the will of the American people, choosing instead to continue to represent the 1%. SEIU President Mary Kay Henry says the senators who blocked the Teachers and First Responders Jobs Act are refusing to listen to the majority of Americans. Henry says these senators are siding with millionaires over the unemployed. National Nurses United and Occupy Chicago marched on Chicago City Hall Monday, protesting the arrests of two nurses along with 130 Occupy protesters over the weekend in Grant Park. Martise Chisholm is one of the nurses arrested for operating a medical first aid tent serving protesters.
We were denied our phone calls, and we were put in jail for speaking up for our rights, and that's un-American.
We here advocate for our patients and to advocate for Wall Street protesters. They have a right to be here, and they should be allowed to.
Police tore down the nurses' medical aid station and arrested scores of other protesters peaceably assembled to support the station. The other nurse arrested in Chicago is Jan Rodolfo. She says Mayor Rahm Emanuel should respect both the nurses' medical mission and the First Amendment rights of the Occupy Chicago protest.
Rahm Emanuel has the ability, as other mayors do across the country and have done, to respect the rights of protesters. If an encampment can exist on Wall Street, then an encampment can exist in the city of Chicago.
National Nurses United's Roseanne DeMauro says the arrests are disgraceful and won't stop nurses from continuing their medical first aid mission, setting up the Chicago station again, and continuing to support the protests. The AFT-affiliated Berkeley Federation of Teachers has successfully organized two Realm charter schools. Berkeley Federation of Teachers President Kathy Campbell.
We are a professional union. We know that our contracts and our actions affect students and their families. One of the things that really appealed to these charter school teachers, who are obviously deeply committed, really committed to their students and families, wanted collective voice through a union, but one that was very professional and very progressive.
This newscast made possible in part by the United Mine Workers of America and by the National Education Association. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
35 minutes after the hour, I want to thank A.J. O'Neill again, theassemblylineparty.com. A.J.'s just the real deal. Met him in Lansing when I was there for the Occupy Lansing event. His friend Nick Zastrow, who is just another great guy. If you're not doing anything that weekend, as AJ so aptly said, it is a bye week for the Lions, so that takes away that excuse. Come join me at AJ's Music Cafe for the Soapbox Summit on Saturday. I think it's going to be an extraordinary day. A free exchange of ideas, maybe get you in out of the cold for a little bit. Yeah, grab a great cup of coffee and, you know, maybe actually accomplish something. Hey, Jeff, I don't know if you saw the story yesterday about the 87-year-old man who was free on bond after the police seized 104 kilos of cocaine found in his truck. That 104 kilos has a street value of more than $2.9 million.
Is that illegal now?
It is.
Man, just think. That always amazes me when they put a street value on to a huge amount of something like that, you know?
$2.9 million, 87 years old. He says that he is a drug mule, that he's being forced to do this. According to the report that I have in front of me, the man's a bit eccentric. I think that's the nice way to say it. And there was actually some guffawing going on in the courtroom, including the judge, who had to stifle a giggle or two along the way. Of course, it's a very serious business, you know, 104 kilos of cocaine, $2.9 million. But this old man says that, you know, he's being forced to do it at gunpoint and talked incoherently at points. Throughout this, the judge kept imploring him not to talk, not to say anything that could implicate him even further, and the man couldn't stop talking. I'm going to read just the last bit of this article. The judge had said to him at some point if he had any additional questions before ending the hearing, and the judge regretted it, saying, I wish I hadn't asked him that, because of course he couldn't shut up.
Sounds like he's been sampling the product a little bit.
You know, he said he's never taken drugs in his life. And I don't know, and nobody at this point knows what the full extent of this story is and what will develop. This happened in Metro Detroit, by the way. This has not happened somewhere else. This happened here. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out when it's all said and done. But, yeah, the last thing you would expect if you pull over an 87-year-old man is that he's going to have, you know, 104 kilos of cocaine in the truck bed worth almost $3 million.
I know it's probably a small drop in the bucket, but at least that is off, just, you know, $2.9 million the streets.
Absolutely. Just a really interesting story. I'm sure we'll be hearing much more about this. Very quickly, we didn't have time to get to this yesterday, so I want to get to some of this audio today. Robert Reich, who is the former labor secretary under President Bill Clinton. If you haven't heard, Governor Rick Perry, his tax plan is a flat tax. A lot of people like a flat tax because it sounds really fair. Everybody just pays, I'm going to keep it simple, 5%, period, just 5%. It's different than 999. 999 is not a flat tax.
You know what's funny is you've even written about Mitt Romney, who's been against a flat tax pretty much his whole career recently, now has switched and thinks it's a good thing.
Yeah, imagine that.
Anything to help him get elected. He'll say whatever you want him to say.
You know, I know you've really been enjoying Mitt Romney throughout this because he was the first one out there. He was the only one we were focusing on for a while. Then others get into the fray, and And you, Jeff, particularly have been following his changing stances on things as other candidates come in. All of a sudden, he starts embracing things that, of course, traditionally and historically, he wouldn't touch before, including the flat tax.
It's not that I've been following him. I've been following, like, the issues, and he just happens to, you know, whatever is hot at the moment, he's for, or whatever it will help him get elected, then he'll say it. So he's been following me is what it sounds like. Like, I'm looking at whatever's hot, the issues that are out there. And
you think he's following you, do you?
And he's like, okay, if that's what they're interested in, then I'm interested in that, too.
If that's what Radford's interested in. Let's
right.
be more specific about this.
Well, you know. I think he's a fan. I think he's a Facebook fan of the show.
Okay, well, I don't know. We'll have to check. And maybe he's one of the guy. Maybe he's the guy that pulled his membership when we figured it out. Anyway, Robert Reich on the flat tax. Here he goes.
I mean, the flat tax is a fraud. Let's be very clear about this on two grounds. One ground you've already talked about, Lawrence, and that is that inevitably there are going to be exemptions and there are going to be deductions just simply because life is complicated and people are complicated, businesses are complicated, and to get fairness, you're going to have them. But secondly, because if you have a flat tax, you are inevitably going to reduce the taxes of people at the top who, in a progressive tax system, are supposed to pay a little bit more, and you're going to increase the taxes of people at the bottom who either pay no tax now or pay a very little tax or get some sort of exemption. No, they would be paying 9% or whatever the flat tax rate is. And this is known. I mean, the independent, nonpartisan Center for Tax Policy recently investigated the Keynes plan and found that poor people would be paying a lot more and rich people would be paying a lot less in taxes. I mean, it is not only absurd, but it's been over and over again being utilized by Republicans. In fact, Rick Perry is going to come out with his flat tax plan next week. It's been utilized by Republicans to disguise what's really going on, which is a transfer of income and wealth to the very top. Exactly what we've seen going on in America for years.
I love Robert Reich. Just love the way, you know, he's so clear and in command of the language and just, you know, makes you feel like if you don't agree with him, you're stupid. I mean, the guy's just kind of amazing in that way. He goes on to say what real tax reform would look like. That's what he had to say.
Oh, of course, of course. You know what I hope Democrats begin to say with regard to tax reform is that what we really need, given that so much income and wealth is now going to the very top 1%, I mean, we have double what we had only 30 years ago. 30 years ago, about 10% of total income went to the top 1%. Now, more than 20% of total income goes to the top 1%. And their income taxes, their tax rates, their marginal tax rates are lower than they've been in 30 years. And we have a big debt. I mean, the logic would suggest that we raise taxes on the very top, have more tax brackets, and we treat all sources of income, including capital gains. You know, that's one of the big loopholes. Capital gains have been taxed at 15%. We treat all taxes and all capital gains and all sources of income exactly the same. That would be real tax reform.
All right. And then last but not least, because he's right, and this is... And this is the part that gets me. And we talk about fairness. We talk about the Occupy Wall Street movement, the Occupy movement in general. You know, the wealthy are for the most part, smart or smart enough to know who to hire. So this is what Robert Reich has to say on the rich.
Through our tax code.
Lawrence, it's absurd. The 400 richest families in America, the last time the IRS measured them, the 400 richest families that actually are sitting on a total wealth that is greater than the total wealth of the bottom 150 million families and have huge incomes, they're paying at a 17% rate on average. 17% because of those capital gains. You know, if you start looking at this thing, you see that even the current system is so regressive. It is not progressive. Poor people are paying huge shares of their income in Social Security payroll taxes and sales taxes. It's unfair.
Yep, it is unfair, and they do have it figured out. Jeff, the 400 richest families in the country have more wealth than 150 million of the rest of the families. Think about that. 400 versus 150 million. And we'll ask the question one more time. Are there more of us than there are of them?
It sounds like it.
Yeah. You know, we haven't heard from Lee in a long time.
Which one? We have like
Lee.
Four
Lee's No. The Lee that gave us "There Are More of Us Than There Are of Them."
Right. Right.
You know the dynamic woman that she is. Lee, if you're out there, where have you been? And if you're not out there, then I guess I'm talking to myself. Yeah, we haven't heard from her in a long time. Haven't seen her post on Facebook or anything. I hope she's okay.
Maybe she's occupying Detroit.
She could be. Very well could be. Wow. Well, a shout out to you, Lee. If you're out there, we need to know where you're at. And again, if you're not listening, I'm talking to myself. I got to stop doing that. Anyway, Robert Reich is just a very plain, common sense, gets to the bottom. He was that, by the way, that was an interview with Lawrence O'Donnell on The Last Word on MSNBC. Certainly want to give proper due. One more before we get to the break in our Occupy Detroit segment of the day. Anthony, I know you go downtown quite a bit. Do you ever ride the People Mover?
Yeah, I do.
Do you? They may close it down.
Really?
Yeah, apparently it's not making enough money, and they're going to, November 1st, it goes from $50 a ride to 70, or I'm sorry, 50 cents a ride. Maybe at $50 they would make money. 50 cents a ride to 75 cents a ride, but even at that, it won't come close to covering the expenses. And they just cut $1 million from the People Mover budget. So what they're considering perhaps doing is only running it during sporting events or the auto show, you know, special events, but they may just kill it all together.
Right. I mean, that's when it seems the only time for it to be busy. I mean, during, like, Red Wing games and whatnot.
Right. Well, it says that there are 2.3 million riders in 2010 generated $900,000. So the 25% increase would gain only between $175,000 and $250,000, hardly enough to make up for the millions it loses. It loses on average, by the way, $3.4 million a year. So it's not profitable. And that may be just a losing proposition, period. All right, when we come back, we are going to go back downtown to Grand Circus Park. Amira Gillespie. And if I got it wrong, we'll correct it on the other side. Joining us from the Occupy movement right here in the city of Detroit. We got a list of stuff that they need again today, and we'll talk about how to donate again. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us that don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW. Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Recently on First Shift,
David Hecker, who is president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan,
about the American Jobs Act. The Republicans will stand up and vote no, but what I'd love them to stand up and say is I vote no because I think there should be 54 kids in a kindergarten class. I vote no because I don't care that the response time of police officers and firefighters have skyrocketed because of layoffs, because that is the only reason someone would have to vote no, is that they just don't care.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310. WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. Pleasure to be with you this morning as we have dedicated each and every day at this time, 7:50 every single morning that we are on the air to the Occupy Detroit movement and more if we need it. But certainly you can know with great certainty that every day at this time we will be covering Occupy Detroit, and we are right now. Joining me is Chris Bode. Chris has been actively involved with the Occupy Detroit movement and joins us this morning to give us a little update on what's going on Grand Circus Park. Chris, a pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning. Thank you for making the time.
Oh, you're welcome. Actually, Matthew Bode is my name. But
Matthew,
yes,
I'm sorry.
Glad to be here. No problem.
No problem. Good. Well, listen, as I've been doing with everybody, Matthew, just kind of give me a little bit of your backstory. Why are you involved? What do you do? Why are you involved with this?
Well, thank you for the question. My name is, or my job actually is, I'm a pastor at Spirit of Hope Church just up the street from downtown at Martin Luther King and Trumbull. The first General Assembly was here. And we are a church that is very active in the community in southwest Detroit. And basically, we're tired. We're tired of working and working and working and not seeing solutions to problems coming forward, that the system itself is broken. And we as churches and as community members in Detroit are cleaning up messes, but we're not getting the system changed in a way that's been effective and that's really affecting people on the ground. And so we're getting involved in the movement to affect some change at both a local and a national level, to change the conversation, to think about the 99% first instead of the 1%.
Yeah, I love that message. Is it okay if I call you Matthew, Pastor? Which do you prefer?
Matthew's just fine.
Matthew, all right. I just want to show you that respect. No problem. You know, Matthew, I love that message. And what I like about that message is, you know, and one of the things that I've been saying on this show, I know the audience is probably sick of hearing me say it, you know, it's one thing to show up. It's quite another thing to stand up. This Occupy movement is about standing up. It is about finally saying once and for all that it's not enough to just identify that we have got a problem. We know we've got a problem. What are we going to do to change that problem? And we don't necessarily need to have all the answers, Matthew, to that today. We don't necessarily need to have that entire agenda in place today, but what we do need to do is we need to start collectively getting together and making sure that we're making our list, we're checking it twice, because we have every reason to believe that we can finally do more than just change a conversation. We can change the country.
Yes, absolutely. And part of it too, I think the first step is, first of all, caring for one another, realizing that there are other people going through this. And I think that has been a great first step, and it's been a great mood, I think, down at Grand Circus Park, and caring for one another. Once we care for one another, understand the needs of each other, we can begin to form our message. We can begin to form a plan for change in our communities. And I think the more that the conversation changes, the more that people both in power but also people at the grassroots can understand that they're not by themselves. And when people understand they're not by themselves, I think they feel like they have more power to change the things that they've always had power to change. But when they understand that there are other people with them, they are more likely to seize that power and use it.
You know, let's Matthew talk about that for just a moment, because I there is something to be said about community. Certainly, as a pastor, you know, that's the part of the goal is to, as a community, get together and celebrate the word of God and each other once a week. Well, now we have an opportunity to affect in a very positive way a greater community. I would think that because of the cross and the cross section and the diversity of people that the Occupy Detroit movement is attracting, that as a pastor, this must give you great hope carrying that message forward.
Oh, it's great hope. And one of the things that I think we forget is that at the grassroots level, diversity has always been a part of the process. I pastor a church that is very diverse in many ways, not just in terms of race and class, but sexual orientation and different perspectives on faith. And at the grassroots level, that's always been the case. However, somehow it gets diffused when we start moving up the ladder. You know, when we start moving up to places where there's more power, we tend to diffuse the diversity and diffuse the natural alliances that happen. And it's one of the things I think that we've become complacent to in our country is the effectiveness of the 1% intentionally dividing communities against one another, whether that be by race, by class, by geography, by whatever. And I think the effectiveness of this Occupy movement is to wake us up to that, to realize that our divisions are intentional by the 1%, and that we need to understand that coming together will bring us more power for change for everybody in that 99%.
And tell me about some of the people that have just randomly stopped by, bringing donations, offering a kind word. Have you been surprised by the support that the Occupy Detroit movement's getting?
I was at first. But as the message came forward, it really shouldn't surprise any of us. I mean, 99% of us at least are affected by all of the vast power discrepancies that are going on in our country right now. And so I think people of all walks of life are waking up to that. People who are on their way to the Lions game, for example, stopping by and saying hello and giving their support. You know, my colleagues down there will say that, you know, for every one person who's actually occupying Grand Circus Park, there's at least a dozen people in other places around the region, Southeast Michigan region, that are supporting in some way or another, whether it be doing call-in radio shows or whether it be doing sending supplies, organizing their own church or own neighborhood in order to support. So what it's doing is it's really reaching out, creating a web, creating a network where people are using it to support one another and to support the cause so that real change can happen and it will happen in the long term and isn't just a flash in the pan.
Yeah, and Matthew, I just can't reiterate enough and underscore enough that message that it's not about being down there and sleeping. There are so many ways to support the Occupy Detroit movement, as this audience has demonstrated by their outpouring of support. I don't want people to feel like they are less than if for some reason they're not down there in the cold or under a sleeping bag or fighting rats in a corner. Folks, that's not what this is about. This is about a greater awareness and a commitment to one another. No question that is true. I do have a list of things, and Matthew, I'm going to read this list off. If there's anything that I have forgotten, you'll, of course, fill in the blanks. But this is a list of things that they need. I want to start with there's a critical need, folks, for printers. They need computer printers. So if anybody has one or two hanging around, if you can network with somebody, they desperately need some computer printers. They also need plastic shelving units. They need plastic storage tubs, blankets, waterproof tarps, tents. They need ropes, hats, mittens, propane, of course, propane tanks with propane in them. And, of course, that printer is critical. I got that message last night. Pastor Matthew Bodie is our guest. We are just out of time for now. But, Pastor, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you, and you'll continue to count on this show's support of the Occupy Detroit movement.
Thank you very much, and have yourself a fantastic day.
All right, thank you. We'll take a quick break. We will be back with Chris Mihalakis on the other side. Stay with us.
T10 WDTW. 1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch. Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes some slow going for those on 94. As you're trying to get toward 275, you have to get past Hagerty, where we've got construction down to two lanes over to Wayne Road, so slow going through there. Drivers on 94 are seeing slowdowns as you're coming into 696, and then in pockets trying to get down to I-75. 75 southbound slow, 14-mile road to about 9 mile. Also pretty heavy on the Jefferies as you're coming past the Southfield Freeway heading into downtown.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We may see some sun and clouds today, but also a chance of rain. Our high near 63. Tonight, chance of rain, a low near 50. Tomorrow, possible showers and a high near 55. Right now, Metro Airport, though, mostly cloudy and 43 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Bill Caiaccio. Leading the news this hour, homeowners who are underwater on their mortgages will be able to lower their house payments under new rules announced by President Obama. However, people must be current on their loan payments to qualify. Paul Jackson with Housing Wire says it's good for banks.
With the new program, banks don't have to worry as much about buying back bad loans. And that's really what's held the program up to this point in time. I think you're going to see banks much more willing to lend under this program, and that's probably the biggest change of all.
There are currently about 11 million people who owe more on their mortgages than their home is worth. Rick Perry wants to give you a choice between your current tax rate or a 20% flat tax. The Republican presidential candidate will be in South Carolina today to talk about his plan for the economy. A miracle in the middle of all the earthquake devastation in eastern Turkey. CNN's Diana Magne says rescue crews found a two-week-old baby.
The baby, 14 days old, was pulled out of the rubble here alive. And bear in mind, the earthquake took place on Sunday. It is now Tuesday morning. The baby is fine. It's a little girl. She's on her way to the hospital for checks. But her relatives here said she looked as though she was doing fine.
The body of Muammar Gaddafi was buried today, but we don't know where. A spokesman for Libya's interim government says members of Gaddafi's tribe were allowed to pray over the body. The Rangers beat the Cardinals 4-2 Monday night and are just one win away from their first World Series title. Texas manager Ron Washington says the team is not thinking about it right now.
We want to stay in the moment. We just want to go play our game. And if it's good enough Wednesday, we'll win. If it's not, we play Thursday. But we certainly won't be out there thinking about we just got to win one game. I've been there before, and that doesn't work.
The series moves back to St. Louis for Game 6. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot has made a special buy. Right now, Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs of incandescent bulbs are only $3.97 each. That works out to less than 50 cents a bulb, which also works out nicely for your wallet. So come in, stock up, and save on Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs. Right now, only $3.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only 57-watt bulbs in California.
So, you want to lease this new space for your business. Looks like it's set up for about 50 employees, but right now, you only have 19. I'm just curious, what are you going to do with the rest of the space?
Outgrow it.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
UPS, often considered a pretty good economic indicator in its own right, says it delivered nearly a billion packages in the last quarter. That handed the company earnings that were better than expected on revenue that met Wall Street forecasts. It could be a long day for shares of Netflix. They're down nearly 40% pre-market after revealing that it lost more subscribers than expected during the last quarter. Netflix lost 800,000 customers after the video rental and streaming service decided to hike fees and split its service options. With everybody waiting for the daily deal site Groupon to start trading stock in the next week or so, the company behind Facebook games, Farmville, and Mafia Wars is itself getting its ducks into an IPO row. The Wall Street Journal says Zynga is likely to go public at the end of November. And that report says Zynga will watch for the kind of welcome Groupon gets before making a final decision. Looking ahead to the opening bell on Wall Street, S&P futures are higher by 4 points. NASDAQ ahead 7.5. Dow futures gaining 21. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
At Regions, we're building a better banking experience for each small business customer. That means giving you the basics, like checking and savings, as well as offering the right lending options. Because we understand how important capital, revenue, and cash flow are to your small business. So if you're ready for a bank that's as committed to growing your business as you are, switch to Regions. Visit Regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC. All loans subject to credit approval. See individual account disclosures for details.
The Home Depot has made a special buy. Right now, Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs of incandescent bulbs are only $3.97 each. That works out to less than 50 cents a bulb, which also works out nicely for your wallet. So come in, stock up, and save on Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs. Right now, only $3.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only 57-watt bulbs in California.
So, you want to lease this new space for your business. Looks like it's set up for about 50 employees, but right now, you only have 19. I'm just curious, what are you going to do with the rest of the space?
I'll grow it.
Small business owners survive on confidence. And because Constant Contact has helped so many small businesses grow, we share that confidence. Starting at just $15 a month, you'll get powerful email marketing tools, a personal coach to help you every step of the way, even a money-back guarantee. Start today at ConstantContact.com.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Triviano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. Wow, what a quick morning this is. Couple quick announcements, because somebody posted this, Barbara posted this to the Facebook page. There is a there's a great little deal going on at AJ's Music Cafe. We just had AJ on at 7 o'clock. They've got a sing-along with the Beatles. I love the flyer. You know the words, so sing along. Anyway, from 8 to 10 p.m. on Thursday, November 17th, you just need to bring 2 cans of non-perishable food to AJ's Music Cafe. That's your admittance, and then you just have a good time. By the way, all the food will go to Gleaners Food Bank, and since we just had Gleaners on the show, thought it might make sense to mention that to you folks, so check that out.
We're also back up to $7.90 now.
Huh?
On likes.
Oh, okay.
You know why? Because it's Song of the Day.
Columba Cruz Colvin, like the song of the day?
That's what I'm guessing, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to that. We got lots to do. We got a lot to do in this hour. Want to remind you, at 8:35, we're going to be introducing you to Professor Gordon Lafer, who is going to educate us all on right to work in an uncommonly important way. I'd like to think, and we're not going to take callers during that half hour. We're going to dedicate the entire half hour to the right to work issue, defining it, empowering you, educating you. It's critical. I know Chris agrees with that as well. Let's get to our intro and let's get this thing rocking.
Joining Tony in studio,
as he always does at this time,
the legislative and political director of the United Food and Commercial Workers of Michigan,
Chris Michalakis.
And although he's not in studio, he was out with the Occupy movement last night in Detroit. He's off to Lansing this morning. It was much better for Chris to do this from where he's at right now. I don't care how we get him. I just like having him here. Chris Michalakis, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Tony. Yeah, I've been out there every night, just being with the protesters and seeing what they need and what we can do to help them out. And it's a great group of people down there. I even camped out there last Saturday, and a little bit better than the weather was a little better than the Friday before when I was out there.
Well, I got to tell you, I love the way it's working out for the show. The last couple of days, we've had two great guests. Pastor Bodie was just with us, who was
was great.
And so working with a great guy named Bart, the part of their media committee. Anyway, we've got plenty of time to talk about that some other time. But I'm just glad that everything's working out as well as it has. And the listeners have been amazing, Chris. They've been very generous, as you know. They've been dropping off donations. I do want to quickly mention, though, the money end of this, because there was some confusion about this yesterday. I posted it to Facebook. Folks, the reason they don't want you bringing money down there is they don't want to carry it around. They don't want to handle it. So if you'll just go to occupy-detroit.us, occupy-detroit.us, the very top. I know a lot of you have trouble finding it, and I don't know why. It says donate. Just click that button, and that's all you have to do. And donate that way. They're more than happy to take your cash donations. And more than happy to. I know that I got word yesterday that UAW Local 909 retirees donated $600 yesterday.
That's right.
Which is just amazing. I know the UFCW is stepping up and doing a lot of stuff. I know the UAW was down there either yesterday or the day before. Yep. So organized labor, Chris, is very involved. But you got involved in something on Friday that a lot of people got involved in.
Absolutely.
And so let's talk about this, because there has been and actually November 5th is the official day to kind of unplug from your corporate bank and go find a credit union or a local locally owned bank. And there are some out there still. So tell us a little bit about what happened with you on Friday.
So Friday was the big march on Bank of America. We had hundreds and hundreds of people marching from Grand Circus Park to their branch on Griswold. And the UAW especially just had hundreds of people there. It was a great demonstration. We were surrounding the building. And, one other thing I want to add too, Tony, is the demonstration was very peaceful. I'm looking through headlines in other cities, and Bank of America was arresting people, calling the cops on people all over the country. But here, the occupiers and the police actually have developed a really good rapport, and a lot of people were skeptical of that at first, but I was talking to a police officer one night, and he said, our pension fund took a hit. We got hurt from Wall Street more than anybody. And that was a big story a few years ago. So the cops have been very sympathetic with us, and we've done a good job of working with them, and not just in the camp, but on a lot of these actions. And so we had the building surrounded, and there was, Bank of America officials hanging around watching the whole thing. And so what I decided to do was, I figured it'd be a good day to finally, as Bank of America says it, terminate my relationship with Bank of America. I'd open up an account at a credit union, at Dearborn Federal, earlier that week, and I was ready to transfer all my money over. And, I'm telling you, when there's a big protest like that, Tony, and you go inside the branch to close your account, you will never see more attention from the bank in your life. I met, four different levels of management and, was escorted out by the president of the division, and it was a crazy, crazy thing. I walked in there, and they asked me, "What are you here to do today?" And I said, "I'm here to close my account." And before I could even get to where the branch was inside the Guardian building, they had someone walk up, to me and escort me to their desk, and the branch manager came out and started the whole, "Well, you may have heard some things about Bank of America that you don't understand," like they do in those commercials. And she asked me why I, wanted to close my account. So I didn't want to be confrontational. I figure what's the quickest and easiest thing to get me in and out of here. I told them I don't like the ATM fees. So I go and sit down with this other, with this teller, and she is, you know, she starts going through, she's like, well, you know, have you thought about this type of account and this type of account, and you won't have to pay ATM fees. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm sorry, I apologize. It's nothing personal. I just don't want to bank with you guys anymore. I don't like the role you've been playing in the economy. You know, when I started banking with you, you were Standard Federal. And, you know, that was a good local Michigan-based bank. And, you know, Standard Federal got bought out by LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank got bought out by ABN AMRO. ABN AMRO got bought out by Bank of America. You know, I didn't choose to bank with you guys. You guys chose to bank with me. And now I'm done. And so the teller, who was a really nice and very polite woman, says, you know what? Can you do me a huge favor? Can you tell my boss everything you just told me? That way I don't have to try to sell all these different financial products and services to you. And, you know, I can't help but think that's how we got into a lot of these problems and in this foreclosure mess in the first place, is banks like Bank of America trying to push people into these products and services that they don't need, and that cost a lot of money. So the branch manager came over. We talked for a little bit. She started, you know, she tried to convince me to stay with them, and I told her the same thing. I said, you know, there's nothing you can say that'll convince me. My mind is made up. You know, let's not waste each other's time here. And so she gave up, and the teller I was talking to thanked me for that, because she says, you know, they listen in all their conversations, and you have to be, you know, so aggressive to keep people and to sell different services and that sort of thing. And the other interesting thing too, Tony, she told me that she used to work for a credit union, and how it was a great place to work and a great place to bank and all those sorts of things.
Huh.
So, yeah. And finally, we... as she's closing out my account and I'm filling out the paperwork, the regional vice president of sales comes down and tries to convince me to stay with them, and says, you know, does your bank have the same services that, or, you know, the bank you're going to, do they have the same services we do? And I said, well, yeah, it's a big credit union. It's, you know, Dearborn Federal. And she goes, oh yeah, that's pretty much like a bank around here, isn't it? So, she gives up and leaves, and finally they give me my, you know, I got all my paperwork filled out. I'm at the teller window getting my cashier's checks ready to leave, and the branch manager comes back with the division president. Now, she says the president. I don't know president at what level. I'm assuming it's the division from Michigan. And, you know, like, he's just kind of, like, standing there smiling, like, as if I'm supposed to be, you know, in awe, like awestruck, and want to go turn around and, you know, deposit my cashier's checks again. But he didn't really have much to say. He just, you know, said, if you change your mind, you know, and want to come back with us, feel free to come back. And it just kills me, Tony, that they can't understand why people are so frustrated with them and why people are so upset at them.
Chris, hold that thought. We'll come back and continue this discussion. Chris Mihalakis, again, the legislative and political director with my union, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. We'll take a quick break here on First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. There is no reason not to follow your heart.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes slow going along I-96. Drivers who are coming in eastbound from Milford trying to get in toward Wixom, where we had an earlier accident at Wixom, moved off to the shoulder. Then as you try to go further east on 696, you're running into big backups, part of that from an earlier accident near Orchard Lake. Drivers on 94 east, slow going through our construction zone as you're coming up near Hagerty towards 275 and Wayne Road, part of that from an earlier accident near Hagerty on the right side.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see a mix of sun and clouds today, but also a chance of rain and a high near 63. Tonight, though, mostly rain, likely a low near 50 degrees. Tomorrow, pretty good chance of showers throughout the day and our high near 55. Last check at Metro Airport, still mostly cloudy and 43 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Exclusively at the Home Depot, save time and money with Behr Premium Plus Ultra Paint. It's an affordable paint and primer in one, and rated number one by a leading consumer study. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
What does it mean when we say Walgreens simplifies your shopping? It means picking up your Halloween goodies doesn't have to be like this.
There's nothing left but raisins?
Just go to Walgreens, where you'll find great parking, short lines, and all your favorite Halloween candy like Snickers bars and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Plus fun costumes like a princess or a superhero. Right now, snack-sized candy is just $1.99. Shopping simplified. With Walgreens, there's a way. Restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Lindsay Blackwell. What gave you the idea to put together this website and start your own social media marketing campaign?
Well, it was a number of things. I'd heard various stories about other folks who'd done sort of these extreme job hunting efforts, and I knew that I had the ability and the knowledge of social media as a marketing tool to make something viral. And the website kind of was just something I came up with. I wanted to make a cover letter that was more than a cover letter. I wanted it to be something interactive, something that would not only impress Lisa, but would invite others in my social circle, and ultimately, I hope, around the world to kind of invest in me.
All right, now the website, for those that want to go look at it, and I'll give that out in a second, we'll also post it to the Facebook page, is www.DearLisaRudgers, that's RUDGERS.com.
First Ship with Tony Trujillo
on 1310 WDTW.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Ship with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, Tony Trupiano back with you. Chris Mihalakis, my guest with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. He was recanting his tale of closing his account with Bank of America. You know, Chris, I want to tell you that I admire the fact that you did that. And of course, you went in with a fairly steely reserve. You knew you were going to close your account. It wasn't like they were going to convince you, or I don't want to say bully you, because I think that that's an unfair representation of what they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. But they weren't going to, you know, necessarily convince you to keep your account there. And I know you did this for all the right reasons. And, you know, and whether you have done it on your own, if there wasn't this big push, probably not. I mean, let's be honest about it. I don't know that I would move my account without, you know, having this wonderful, massive movement that's growing across this country that is trying to place responsibility where it needs to be, and that's squarely in the lap of our politicians and our corporations that are are making things so unfair for so many of us, Chris. And so I appreciate the fact that you went through the process of doing that.
Thanks, Tony. I've been meaning to do this for a long time. You know, working for a union, you know, we deal with credit unions quite a bit, and I kept asking myself, why do I bank with one? Why don't I bank with one? And so, this was just the push I needed to go ahead and do it. But, you know, there were some other reasons why I was upset with Bank of America in particular, too. I mean, they made $6.2 billion in profit in the last quarter. Profit. So that's all fine and dandy, but I remember a few months ago I was up in Lansing, and there's a Bank of America branch that I would frequent up there when I was up there. And I remember there was this teller one day who was really down, really sad. And I said, you know, what's wrong? You know, why do you look so down? And she told me, she said, you know, they just told us they're cutting our hours, they're cutting our wages, they're cutting our hours, and they're making us pay for our own parking when we come down here. And I can't afford to raise my daughter, and I can't afford to come to work anymore, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And so here's a company that's making like billions of dollars in profit that is still asking more and more concessions of their workers. And, I was just astounded. I didn't know what to tell this woman. And, it's too bad they don't have a union for bank tellers. But, these are the kinds of things Bank of America does. And, of course, you know, we all know the role they played in the foreclosure crisis. And this debit card fee that they're charging, $5 a month, when they were telling me at the branch when I was closing my my account, oh, well, you don't have to pay for this fee. And I said, well, now, you know, I work for a union that represents grocery store clerks. If you're going to charge this fee to your customers, who a lot of times are our customers in the stores where we represent workers, that's going to mean less money being spent in our grocery stores, less money for our members, and it's going to impact them and hurt them to some extent. So you're taking more money out of the economy. Whether people chose to or not, a lot of people bank with Bank of America now because of all the buyouts that they've been involved in and all the mergers over the years. And so when you're going to charge $5 a month to use a debit card, it's going to really hurt a lot of those folks shopping in our grocery stores every day. And of course, not just in our industry, but in other industries in the economy.
Well, you know, when you were saying earlier, when you were walking through that you had originally started with this bank and then they were sold and then that begat right. that and that begat this and then that begat. So many of us are in that same situation where right. we were with a local bank at one point, and then, you know, before you know it, all of these mergers and acquisitions happened. And as you said it so perfectly, I didn't choose you. You chose me.
Right. 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 And so there's a lot of people frustrated. And the other thing I want to talk about too, Tony, is, I decided to open an account with Dearborn Federal Credit Union. And I don't want to sound like I'm, doing a sales pitch for them, but, you know, the way you're treated in a credit union, it's a lot less pressure. They don't try to pressure you into, you know, mortgage and savings and financial products that you don't need. They're much more restrictive in how they loan their money. You know, the credit unions during the foreclosure crisis and the housing crisis and the banking crisis ended, we're all doing pretty well. And so what I liked about opening an account with a credit union is I know that the money I'm putting in there is being used to help people in the community. It's investment that's going in my neighborhood and in my city. And not just that, it's a safer place to store your money. They're not going to fall for all these, they're not going to invest in these strong-arm loans and giving mortgages to those that, shouldn't be giving mortgages. They're a much more secure and safe place, and I encourage everybody to do this. And I've heard of a few different, I've heard November 5th, and I've heard that some people started pulling their accounts last weekend. But, there's people all over the country pulling their accounts from big banks and going into either small banks or credit unions. And the one pitch I'd make for a credit union, too, is it's a lot harder for them to get bought out and become part of a corporate process than it is with a small neighborhood bank.
Right, and I can see, well, I can see where that would be a concern for somebody. What happens if I, you know, switch to a credit union and then they're bought out? So that's, I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. Yeah, because once upon a time, my original bank account when I was a little kid and I had my little savings account was with Security Bank and Trust. And then, you know, they got bought out by, let's see, First of America, who got bought out by National City. And then, you know, I went to another local bank, Standard Federal, and, of course, they're now part of Bank of America. So I wanted to let you know, T-Tony, there's a website. It's kind of crude, but it's pretty interesting. Your listeners might appreciate this. StopBankAbuse.com. And it's a website for people to be part of a class action lawsuit, if that's relevant, against Bank of America for their fees and their accounting practices. And it also has a lot of demands and a lot of information pertaining to their mortgage practices and their foreclosures. And it's StopBankAbuse.com.
All right. Let's. We'll get that on the... We'll get that on the Facebook page as well. Just very quickly before. Oh, we've got a caller, and we got to get him on real quick. In fact, it's sure. our brother Tom from the UFCW. Guys, hey. Go ahead and give me Tom. Tom, what's up this morning?
Morning, Tony and Chris. How are you?
Great to hear from you again.
I know you're pressed for time, but just real quickly, Dearborn Federal Credit Union not only pays you interest on what you have in there. About once a year, they pay a dividend based on the amount of the, you know, your transaction and the amount of money you have in there. So the big banks don't do that. They're also federally insured, just like the big banks. So, personal opinion, you're far better off in
all right.
that credit union situation.
Well, I'm going to say thank you to both of you, and I'm going to have to let both of you go because we got to get to the break. Tom, thank you. Chris, as always, appreciate it. Hopefully next week we'll have you in studio, but any way we get you, we'll take you. We've got Gordon Lafer coming up, talk about right to work, and I know how critical an issue that is for you and for everybody in the union movement and outside the union movement. As well, pay attention to what you're going to learn in the next 25 minutes, folks. It's critical moving forward. I'm Tony Truppiano. We're going to kick a little ass on the other side. Stay with us.
WDTW continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update, Tony, includes slow going on I-75 southbound, of course, always that way as you're coming in southbound toward 12 mile, trying to get to the roof there, trying to get past 8 mile as it eases up a little bit in toward downtown. I-94 is slow in pockets as you head westbound, coming in toward 8 mile Vernier, trying to head down toward Van Dyke and into 75. The other end of town, 94 east, pretty slow, coming into our construction zone between Hagerty, 275 and Wayne Road. Part of that from an earlier accident on the eastbound side of 94, working near Hagerty.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see a mix of sun and clouds today, but also a chance of rain and a high near 63. Tonight, though, mostly rain, likely a low near 50 degrees. Tomorrow, pretty good chance of showers throughout the day and our high near 55. Last check at Metro Airport, still mostly cloudy and 43 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on Facebook and also follow us at Tony Truppiano on Twitter.
Astonishingly, some Wall Streeters continue to be clueless about what the Occupy Wall Street movement is protesting. Yoo-hoo, Streeters, note that the movement's name has the term Wall Street in it. While there's a plethora of particular issues being raised by the protesters, the unifying theme is a protest against the rising tide of economic inequality that's enriching the most privileged few by knocking down America's workaday majority. And guess who is the most powerful perpetrators of this greed-fueled disparity? Yes, Wall Street. For example, even as the protest was spreading in mid-October to hundreds of cities, executives at Bank of America announced three moves. One, to goose up their own extravagant pay, they're socking financially stressed debit card users with a new $5 a month fee. Second, they're dumping 30,000 of the bank's worker bees onto America's already swollen unemployment rolls. Goodbye and good luck finding another job. Third, two top executives who are departing the bank are being handed golden parachutes totaling $11 million. In the midst of this, Steve Bartlett opened his mouth. A former Congress critter who's now Wall Street's top Washington lobbyist, he is a perfect symbol of the infuriating corrupt coziness between financial elites and lawmakers. Yet, Bartlett blithely says that, quote, we don't see ourselves as the target of the protests. After all, he explains, Wall Street has to be well-capitalized and well-financed for the economy to recover. This is Jim Hightower saying, golly, Steve, what part of the public's multi-trillion-dollar bailout of the street's elite did you not see? We the people see every glaring dime of it. And we also see that rather than helping our economy recover, you're now lobbying in Congress to kill Wall Street reforms so banksters can grab even more at our expense. What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. We need to hit the ground running. I want to make sure we utilize our time to the best of our ability. We will not be taking calls in this half hour, folks. So if you have questions, you can reserve them either through emails, and I'd be happy to respond to those later, or we can get into more specific information on tomorrow's show. But I want to make sure that we utilize our time to get great information out. We're going to be talking about right to work. It is something that will be introduced in the legislature sometime between now and the end of the year by the Republicans. Right to work is something that sounds good. It is not good. And we are going to educate you today and empower you to some truths. What I'm suggesting to you is that once we have done this, the next two segments, you take that, you find the podcast link at thetonyshow.org. You find those two segments and you email them to everybody you know to help them understand what right to work is and why it's wrong for Michigan, wrong for the country, and certainly wrong for business. Let me turn my attention now to my guest experts. Joining me is Professor Gordon Lafer. Professor Lafer is with the University of Oregon's research, and he's a research associate with their Economic Policy Institute. He has spent the last 25 years studying employment policy, and in 2009 and through 2010 served as a senior labor policy advisor to the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Education and Labor. And he joins us from Oregon, a very early morning there. And Professor Lafer, if you don't mind, I'll call you Gordon for the purposes of our discussion today. Thanks for getting up early for us.
No problem.
I know I owe you dinner, and we'll make sure we get you dinner. I promise we'll do that. Hey, let's just start off with some basic definitions. I want to make sure that we walk away today with people being empowered with great information. What is right to work?
Well, first of all, it may be important to start by saying what it's not. Right to work has nothing to do with anybody having a right to a job, which is what you might think if you just hear about it for the first time. It also has nothing to do with anybody being forced to be a member of a union or forced to pay dues to politicians they don't support. What both federal and state law already say, that nobody can be forced to be a member of a union and nobody can be forced to pay union dues that go to a politician or a charity or an advocacy group or anything like that they don't support. The only thing that is allowed under federal and state law is that a group of workers in a union can propose, and if their employer agrees, they can sign a contract that says everybody who's covered by a union contract and who benefits from the wages and benefits that are negotiated under that contract has to pay their fair share just of the cost of maintaining that contract, of negotiating it and, you know, having lawyers to make sure it's upheld and stuff like that. And what Right to Work does is a law that says it's illegal to have that kind of agreement negotiated between workers and employer. And with that, the real goal of it, and this is what the Right to Work proponents say too, is basically they want to undermine the bargaining power of workers through unions so that wages and benefits go down. And they say, well, when wages and benefits go down, then Michigan or another state will become a jobs magnet and will attract a lot of employers. That's the idea of what Right to Work is supposed to be from the mouths of the people who are for it. Unfortunately, it totally doesn't work.
Well, and isn't it been, I mean, aren't there statistics that prove that in right-to-work states that the wages are generally lower, benefits are, if they're even offered, are lesser, that in that if we, you know, really lay this thing out fact to fact, that in right-to-work states versus non-right-to-work states, that you're in a much better situation with regard to wages and benefits than in a right-to-work state?
Yeah, that's right. And I, you know, without getting too technical about it, there's a lot of numbers floating around, and especially if you live in a state like Michigan where it's being debated, there's a lot of very misleading numbers out there. And, you know, what you have to do when you're studying something like one little state policy like Right to Work, you could think, you know, there's a thousand different things that affect what the unemployment rate is or how much a state grows, you know, what the tax rate is or how good the highways are, or how good the school systems are. If you really do the work of saying, let me try to figure out what's the effect of right-to-work laws separate from all the other stuff going on in the economy, what you find out is that, on average, having a right-to-work law lowers the wages by about $1,500 a year. And that's for both union and non-union workers, and it's after adjusting for cost of living. And it also lowers your chances of getting either health insurance or pension through your job, again, both for union and non-union workers. That's the real scientifically proven effect, as opposed to the kind of propaganda, bogus numbers that are floating around out there.
All right, true or untrue, Right to Work, I, this is going to sound, you know, simplistic, but I want to make sure we're clear. Right to Work creates job or enhances job growth. True or false?
False. And I'll tell you one of the important things to know about this. Sometimes you get studies by people saying, oh, here's why Right to Work will help Michigan. Look what happened over the last 30 years. Well, part of the problem of looking at what happened 30 years ago is we live in a totally different economy now because it's globalized. And, you know, since it maybe in the 1960s, 1970s, there were companies leaving Michigan for places like South Carolina or Arizona because they wanted lower wages. Manufacturers now that are really looking for lower wages are going to China or Mexico or Vietnam. They're not going to South Carolina or Arizona. And so you have to look not at what happened in the 70s, but what would happen now. And I did a big study of Oklahoma because most of the states that have right-to-work laws adopted those laws in the 1950s or 60s. Oklahoma is the only state to adopt a right-to-work law since NAFTA passed. They adopted their law in 2001, and they had all the same kind of things that are being said now in Michigan. We're going to be a jobs magnet. A lot more companies are going to come here, and manufacturing is going to go up. What actually happened since Oklahoma passed its right-to-work laws is both the manufacturing employment and the number of new companies opening up in the state fell by one-third since the right-to-work law was passed.
So by one-third?
By one-third. And again, it's not that right-to-work caused that fall. It's just that it's impotent. It has no effect. And if you do scientifically serious studies, it shows right-to-work has absolutely no impact one way or the other on job growth or economic growth in a state.
That's astounding.
Well, you think about the people in Oklahoma because, you know, somebody went very prominently into their legislature and said the same kind of thing that's being said in Michigan now. They said, employers won't consider coming to a state that doesn't have a right to work law. We can't tell you their names because it's confidential. We can't show you any numbers, but trust us. And it's totally false, and it's not what employer surveys themselves show. They projected in Oklahoma that the number of new companies coming into the state would increase by 80 or 90%, and instead it fell by one-third.
Gordon, in the state of Michigan, we have something called the Mackinac Center. They are a right-wing, quote-unquote, think tank that is very much in favor of right to work. And they keep on going out there with information that right to work will create jobs. And they've been out there quite a while with this information. and they will go on to say that, you know, as compared to other states, right to work will stimulate our economy. And how do you respond when you've got an organization like the Mackinac Center that, you know, a lot of people respect? I wouldn't be one of those people, but a lot of people respect. How do we refute what they're saying?
I think it's very misleading to people, and I've seen and talked to the people at the Mackinac Center. What they do, and without being too much of a pointy-headed professor about this, you know, it's a big world of numbers. You can always find an average that looks like it supports what you're saying. So, for instance, the Mackinac Center put out a report saying Michigan should have right to work, and one of the things they said is that unemployment rates are lower in the states with right to work laws. So they just take the average of the 22 states that have right-to-work laws, and they say the unemployment rates here are lower than the other states. Well, that's true, but it has nothing to do with the fact that they have right-to-work laws. And if you actually look at the state-by-state numbers, if right-to-work was the thing that determined unemployment rates, you would see that, in general, all the right-to-work states had lower unemployment and the other states had higher. And that's completely false. The Mackinac Center varies and does not show the public or lawmakers the actual state-by-state numbers under that, because what those show is that, for instance, 7 of the 10 states with the highest unemployment rates are right to work. What it really shows is that there's just no relationship between right to work and unemployment rates. And so they do something that is not a lie, but is very misleading. And, you know, one way to kind of explain this to people who may be listening is that I could say two things. If a graduate student turned in a paper to me as a professor using the methodology that the Mackinac Center uses, I would have to fail them. And more importantly, you know, courts of law sometimes use statistics in things like big class action suits, and they've developed a line for distinguishing between the kind of evidence, the kind of statistics that are admissible in court, and the kind of thing they call junk science and gets thrown out. There is no question that the Mackinac Center numbers would be thrown out of court as junk science. And you don't need to believe me. Anybody who's listening can take the report that I wrote, take the report that the Mackinac Center wrote, if you know anybody like this, take it to any economist, any statistician of your choice who doesn't have a dog in the fight, who's not ideologically on one side or the other, and ask them which of these is reliable and which is not. And I guarantee you, every one of them, if they're not already political one way or the other, will tell you the Mackinac Center study is something that would get thrown out of court as junk science and is not reliable.
Well, you know, there has been some discussion that, you know, in right-to-work states, the kinds of jobs that thrive are not the kind of jobs that are going to provide a living to people. Is there even a connection between the kind of jobs that are supposedly created in a right-to-work environment? Is there any correlation there at all?
Well, here's the thing. You know, right-to-work essentially is a strategy for saying, let's lower wages in order to attract manufacturers into the state, which means what you're going after is more or less low-wage manufacturers who are going to be motivated to move from one state and not to another because they can pay somebody $1.50 an hour less. The kind of jobs that most states are trying to attract right now, including Michigan, are higher tech, and higher wage jobs, both because they pay better and because it's not as easy to ship them abroad.
All right, Gordon Lafer, my guest. Gordon, we've got to get to a break, so let's do that. Much more to come on the other side. Right to work. It is wrong for Michigan. It is wrong for the country. And you are right to be listening right now. We've got more to do. Stay with us. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll continue right after this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu. Okay?
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
The Home Depot has made a special buy. Right now, Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs of incandescent bulbs are only $3.97 each. That works out to less than 50 cents a bulb, which also works out nicely for your wallet. So come in, stock up, and save on Sylvania 60-watt Double Life 8-packs right now, only $3.97 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only, 57-watt bulbs in California.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Curtis Ellis, Executive Director of the American Jobs Alliance. Tell us, what is the American Jobs Alliance all about?
Individuals across the country who care very much about having jobs in the U.S. and care very much about having a healthy domestic manufacturing base and domestic service base. That is, let's just talk turkey here, put it straight, not outsourcing. We can't be having everything made around the world and imported into this country. Americans have to produce what we use. We have to be producers as well as consumers, or else we'll never get out of the financial mess we're in. We're a post-industrial service economy. I don't have to tell you or your listeners what that's done to this country. You're at ground zero there in Detroit. We have grass growing in the streets of major cities. Cities have never seen a depopulation like this since the Black Plague swept Europe.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310 WDTW.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, Gordon Lafer, my guest, a professor at the University of Oregon, an expert in right to work. I just want to get right back to it. You know, Gordon, as I was reading during the break, and certainly one of the questions that would come up is, in the states that are seeing growth in job growth, are they right-to-work states or non-right-to-work states?
Well, you know, there's a million different ways to measure it, but the place where the higher tech and higher wage jobs that every state is going after are attracted to overwhelmingly are non-right-to-work states. There's a thing put out every year called the State New Economy Index that ranks every state by how good a place it is for higher tech, higher wage jobs, higher tech manufacturing jobs, and 9 of the top 10 states are not right-to-work. And Michigan actually is ranked 17th in that ranking, is ahead of all but 2 of the right-to-work states, because those employers aren't saying, where can I find the cheapest, lowest-wage employees, and I don't care if they're high turnover or low skill. They're saying, I want a place with a good education system where I'll get trained people who will stick around for a while. And this, I think, gets to one of the problems with one of the versions of right-to-work that somebody is talking about introducing in Michigan, which would be aimed strictly at teachers and the school system. There has never been a right-to-work law like that because it makes no economic sense. You're not going to attract companies into out-of-state by attacking teachers. But what you will do is put Michigan at a competitive disadvantage in recruiting and retaining the highest quality teachers. If you say, well, we're going to cut down, you know, union bargaining power and wages and benefits for Michigan teachers, any teacher who has a choice, who's deciding are they going to go to Michigan or a neighboring state, is going to have an incentive to go elsewhere. So at a time when the state is trying to have a strong education system, I mean, both for all kinds of reasons, including being able to compete for these higher skilled jobs, to put in a law that says we're going to undermine the quality of teachers we can attract seems backwards economically.
No question. You know, as we take a look, I'm just thinking here, in some of the information that I read says that 4 of the 5 of fastest growing states were free bargaining states. You know, just based on that information alone, it begs the question, why would a lawmaker want to introduce a policy? First of all, our state legislature has done nothing in the legislative area to create that's friendly to job creators. They've done absolutely nothing. This right to work is not friendly to job creators. Why would they want to introduce a legislator want to introduce legislation that we know does not necessarily attract job creators?
Well, you know, I can't speak to exactly what's in the heads of Michigan legislators, but you know, obviously there are a lot of people for whom this is just an ideological issue or a political issue. And the thing that I find frustrating is people who are kind of, you know, immune to the facts. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, both the public and especially lawmakers, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion, but they should make a decision based on actual economic facts and not on passionate ideology.
All right, and that's a very fair statement, and I would certainly embrace it. I get a little passionate about this because, you know, my bias up front, Gordon. I'm a passionate liberal Democrat. I know what right to work has done in a lot of states. I know that in some states it takes two or three of them right to work jobs to, you know, to make half a living, and I mean that in the literal sense. There are people that are working two or three jobs just to get by. And yet, you know, they sell right to work as a, you know, Mitt Romney is a great example. Said that the reason Texas has done so well is because, God forbid, they have right to work. Well, you know, Mitt, you opened your mouth and you put your foot in it because his former state growing jobs faster than most states, and they're a non-right to work state. Gordon, it gets very frustrating for a guy like me that knows the truth and is just concerned that people aren't paying attention. Which is, of course, why we have you here today. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, one of the states that I think is so dramatic is Mississippi. And the Chamber of Commerce put out a study earlier this year where they basically said Mississippi is a much better model because it's right to work, and Michigan should try to be more like Mississippi. Well, Mississippi has the highest poverty rate and the lowest median income of any state in the country. It has the worst child mortality rate, and only 20% of the kids in eighth grade read at grade level. So, yeah, there was a Toyota plant that located there because Mississippi gave them $350 million to locate there. But to say Michigan should try to be like Mississippi because Mississippi has a right-to-work law, by any measure you could think of, would be going very far backwards. Mississippi should be trying to figure out how to be more like Michigan.
Okay, so let me ask you a simple question. We know, I think it's factually true, that right-to-work does, in fact, lower union density rates. Okay, we know that. But we also know that unions produce and collective bargain higher paying, better wage, better benefit jobs. If I'm living in a state, don't I want to live in a state where I'm going to get higher wages and better benefits? I mean, doesn't that just make sense? That's what I would want as a resident, as a consumer?
Yeah, and one of the things I think is important for listeners who are not union members is that in places where the unions have higher wage standards or benefit standards, it raises the wages and benefits for everybody else just because it's a competitive labor market. I mean, for instance, where I live in Eugene, Oregon, the University of Oregon is the biggest employer in town, and the staff are unionized. So what that means is if a secretary at the University of Oregon gets health insurance, it means the non-union employers in town, if they want to hire a good secretary, they're under pressure, not necessarily to match the union standard, but to, you know, to move up towards that. And so that's the way that when you have strong unions, it has a spillover effect to improve the wages and benefits for everybody else. And when you have something like right to work, which cuts down the bargaining power of unions, it has a negative ripple effect that lowers the wages and benefits of people who are not in unions and might not think this is going to affect them.
Well, it would seem to me, just based on the recent collective bargaining agreements with the Big Three and the UAW, where they've moved a lot of jobs from, as an example, from Mexico back to the United States, that kind of blows a hole in the whole wage argument to begin with. If we're simply about wages and wages alone, the auto companies never let them move those jobs back here. It's not just about money at the end of the day, is it, Gordon?
Well, you know, I think this is, in a way, the right-to-work argument is saying to Michigan, give up. You know, your strategy should be lower wages and try to compete, you know, as best you can with China on a wage basis. But, you know, what you see in Michigan is growth actually in the higher-tech side of the auto industry, even in higher-tech batteries and electric car technology and digital technology going into cars. And you're absolutely right. That the companies producing that and moving in that direction are not doing it on the basis of where on the planet can we get the cheapest workers. They're saying, you know, where can we get higher educated workers? Where can we get skilled employees? Where can we be part of a network of people who are doing the innovation and the design work? And those are reasons that are still strong reasons why there's a lot of investment going on in Michigan, particularly in the higher tech end of the auto industry.
Right. We literally have 20 seconds left, Gordon Lafer. You know, when we hear things like, you know, well, you know, right-to-work states attract 8 to 10 times more, quote-unquote, potential employers. Is that when we should run away? Because isn't that basically a lie? There's no way to measure that, is there?
There's no data, and what that, if you actually survey employers, they never say that right-to-work is even one of their top 10 things that they consider in location decisions.
All right, Gordon.
People should just insist on facts.
All right, well, Gordon, we're just out of time. I want to thank you. We will definitely have you back. We'll find a way to do it when it's not so early for you. Don't know how, but thank you so much for being with us today. Folks, we're out of time. Anthony, back off. I know how much time I got left. God bless you all. Be well.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our last look at the traffic, Tony. Our total traffic update includes some slow going at times. Still 96 as you come in eastbound toward Wixom. If you're on 275 in pockets between 96 M14 and the 96-696 split, you'll see a slow go there. Part of that is from earlier problems on the roof or eastbound coming off of 275 heading toward Orchard Lake and M10. At times that's been very heavy and slow. Same thing with that 75 and 696 interchange.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see a mix of sun and clouds today, but also a chance of rain and a high near 63. Tonight, though, mostly rain, likely a low near 50 degrees. Tomorrow, pretty good chance of showers throughout the day and our high near 55. Last check at Metro Airport, still mostly cloudy and 43 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony.